90s. The heat index readings should reach between 105 and 110 by this afternoon. For this evening, partly cloudy, low in the mid-70s. However, the heat index will still be between 100 and 105 during the early evening hours. For Thursday, partly sunny with a 40% chance of showers, the high in the lower 90s. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. And Friday, mostly sunny with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 78 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting 79. Stay tuned now. It's time for the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 6 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
My baby was born too early, and now he's struggling to stay alive. He's such a trooper. I know they're doing everything they can to save him.
More and more babies in America are being born dangerously early. So early their lives hang in the balance. Despite the best medical care, thousands don't get through the first month. Premature birth is growing at an alarming rate in the United States. One in every eight births. For decades, the March of Dimes has saved babies. By funding medical breakthroughs and by fighting for all babies to have access to the care they need. Help us stop the crisis of premature birth. For information or to help, go to marchofdimes.com. The baby we save may be your own.
20 years ago, my son wouldn't have survived. Now, he has a fighting chance.
I really wanted to help the homeless, so I donated money to a shelter, which gets them a hot meal and a bed, but the next day they're on the street again. So I start working at a job training center, but the only jobs most of them can get pay minimum wage, so they can't afford a place to live. Now they can't go back to the shelters, because most of the shelters lost their funding when the budget emphasis shifted from housing to job training.
Saving the world isn't easy, but saving a life is. And just one pint of blood can save up to 3 lives. Visit bloodsaves.com to learn more. This public service announcement was brought to you by the Ad Council.
Time now for another edition of the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown. Views expressed on this program are not necessarily those of the staff, management, or advertisers of WGNU Radio. This broadcast is a production of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio, and is intended solely for the information and entertainment of our listening audience. Any rebroadcast, transcribing, recording, or other use of this material without the expressed written consent of Norman Broadcasting Company, Incorporated, and WGNU Radio is strictly prohibited. We ask that you govern your calls within the bounds of brevity and good taste. And now, the Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, how can I? I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brothers, how can I?
Time for us to use our power. Please do not beg, hope for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Very sad news for all of you. The people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. If you pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
Hearing revolution in the air, tell my brothers, how can this
end? Well, the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man. Tyranny, poverty, disease,
All men are created equal. Yet many are denied equal treatment.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome, 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 welcome to the morning wake-up call. This is Liz Brown, living my life. Ooh, as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-0600, that's my fax number, and if you want to, toll-free, long-distance me, that's 1-877-920-WGNU. Ooh, we have much to talk about this morning. I can't help but, think. It seems like, all day long, all I do is stay glued to some media thing so I can talk to you all about it. You get home at 6:30, sit down to watch George W. Bush come to us. And the thing that is remarkable about this speech, it's not unpredictable, but it's remarkable nonetheless. It is disturbing nonetheless. It is kind of foul nonetheless. And it is it really, really underscores how much this administration takes y'all for fools. There was nothing that connected Saddam Hussein to 9/11. Nothing. George W. Bush, just like Jebediah Bush, riding like a ghoul, going down to the graveyard and digging up the body of Terry Schiavo, and then hopping onto it to ride it to his political advantage. George W. Bush is engaged in his ghoulish activity too, because he ain't done with the dead people that died. The people who died on 9/11. Check this out.
To complete the mission, we will prevent Al-Qaeda and other foreign terrorists from turning Iraq into what Afghanistan was under the Taliban, a safe haven from which they could launch attacks on America and our friends.
Let's do 21, because this is a 9/11 speech. This is a 9/11 speech.
Many terrorists who kill innocent men, women, and children on the streets of Baghdad are followers of the same murderous ideology that took the lives of our citizens in New York, in Washington, and Pennsylvania.
What does that have? Do that again. Do that again. Do that again.
Many terrorists who kill innocent men, women, and children on the streets of Baghdad are followers of the same murderous ideology that took the lives of our citizens in New York, in Washington, and Pennsylvania.
So we're in Iraq because there are people that are followers of ideology? Is that why we're in Iraq? Our boys and girls are dying and being shot down. Women are dying in droves. Men are dying in double droves. And we're there because of ideology? Why are you talking about 9/11? Why are you saying 9/11? Why are you saying 9/11? Because you are trying to remind people of a time that they were scared, that they were frightened. I saw the movie War of the World with Tom Cruise. Saw it. And what was so fascinating is how much this whole be scared of, that the terrorists are becoming our boogeyman, that they are always there, and that you can, has anybody ever gotten rid of the boogeyman? The boogeyman is always there, right? That's the theory of the boogeyman, that he is always there to scare you into behaving a certain way. Nobody ever catches the boogeyman. And terrorists have become our boogeyman. And George W. Bush is scaring us constantly by saying the boogeyman's over there, the boogeyman. We got to do everything to get at the boogeyman in the War of the Worlds. When the monsters came up from the ground, when the monsters were there, this is Tom Cruise. This is 2005 movie, and the world started falling apart, and the monsters started attacking. Now they could see the monsters in front of them. And you know what the characters said? Is it the terrorists? Is it the terrorists? That's how deep, that's how far, that's how embedded this whole boogeyman theory has been put into y'all. And George Bush is going to holler boogeyman every chance he gets, because the boogeyman always scares you, and the boogeyman always makes you feel helpless, and the boogeyman is something that your mama and your daddy save you from. You don't need to know the details, because mama and daddy going to protect you from the boogeyman. And that's what George Bush is doing to the American people, treating us like children, that we don't need to know the explanation of when the heck we're going to get up out of Iraq. When the heck we're going to bring our babies home. And when the H.E. double toothpicks, we're going to stop pouring money, billions of dollars, that we can't afford into a plot of land the size of California. He's trying to scare you. He's trying to scare you. There is no end in sight. There is no end in sight. And even though Dick Durbin shouldn't have apologized, shouldn't have got scared, shouldn't have capitulated, shouldn't have said he was sorry, because ain't nothing he said was wrong,
And the reasons he certainly didn't say it for the same reason that George W. Bush is saying 9/11, said 9/11 yesterday. He's right on this.
He kept alluding to this connection between 9/11 and Saddam Hussein. That's a connection which doesn't exist. There is no evidence to suggest that Saddam Hussein had anything to do with 9/11. And yet that's been repeated so many times that many Americans believe.
Boogeyman. Boogie, boogie, boogeyman. Boogeyman. And it's, and what, another part of that thing that was so foul about that speech by Boy George. It's become a terrorist breeding ground. Well, you made it so? It wasn't a terrorist breeding ground before you got there? And John Kerry ain't got nothing coming from me. Ain't got nothing coming from me. But I think he was kind of right yesterday. I think he was kind of right yesterday.
It is time for the president to reach out and work across the aisle and across the globe to clean up this mess. And that includes acknowledging that Iraq is today something that it wasn't before the war. A breeding ground for jihadists.
Who made that so? If that is so, who made that so? Reaching across the aisle, he needs to tell Donna Rumsfeld to quit. He just needs to step down. He just needs to resign. Let's just be done with it. He needs to resign. He needs to resign. Period. Dot. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. The bottom line is that there is no end in sight. There is no way out under George Bush's actions, his vision. Looking through the eyes of George W. Bush, as scary as that thought process is, it's a war forever and ever and ever. Amen. There is no end in sight. There is no end in sight.
When we went over there, Rumsfeld said it would take 2 or 3 days or a week or so. Now they're talking about 12 years. What the president has to understand, when you find yourself in a hole, the first thing you do is stop digging.
How simple is that? When you find yourself in a hole, the first thing you do is stop digging. And yet and still, this is what we get from George W. Bush. The bottom line is that when you find yourself in a hole, the first thing you do is stop digging. What does George Bush say?
Amid all this violence, I know Americans ask the question, is the sacrifice worth it? It is worth it. And it is vital to the future security of our country.
When you find yourself in a hole, the first thing you do is stop digging. You don't say, party on, dude. You don't say, party on, dude. You're on the wake-up call.
Good morning, Ms. Brown.
Good morning.
I knew this was a bunch of malarkey. Remember the missiles in Cuba? We had aerial photographs of those, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
And it was, 63, 62?
Mm-hmm.
And we had satellites in the sky then. We had the U-2 plane. And they could show us nothing over in Iraq. They didn't know where they were. And yet Rumsfeld looked into the television and said, I know where the weapons of mass destruction
are. He did. And
people don't remember that.
Well, a lot of people don't remember that. But here's the thing, is that he did know where the weapons of mass destruction were because he put them there and then he took them out.
Yeah, but we still never had any photographs of them, did we?
Yeah, well, I know, because they were gone. He did know where they were. He did. He wasn't lying.
It's so comical, it's sad that the people keep falling for the same thing. Now, we had Vietnam, and we didn't learn from that. The French had Algiers, and the French didn't win in Algiers with the same type of war we're fighting now. And people fall for the same propaganda, and they don't seem to realize or pay attention. I guess they got a short memory span.
Thanks for your
comment. And that's why the French told them don't go there, too, because they had the same thing in Algiers, and they couldn't win. And that's it's sad that, people just fall for the same wars because they want the wars and they're going to have them. And so they just give you any excuse they can.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you, honey.
We're taking a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. I see you. I'll get at you. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. Get up to us. We have much to talk about.
Oh, she passed away. Said, son, when I'm gone, don't forget to pray, cause there'll be hard times. Hard times, oh yeah, yeah. Who knows better than I?
Good morning, St. Louis. 31 minutes after the hour, 6 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. Southbound 55 at Butler Hill, that accident has been cleared. Westbound 44 is a disabled vehicle on the right shoulder. Small fire in the vehicle, but it's out now, but it's still causing a bit of a delay. Southbound 270 at Gravois, there's an object in the road reportedly to be a wheelbarrow, and that's in the center lane, so use caution as you approach those areas there. Northbound 55 at Lindbergh and Gasconade, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and 270, no problems to report there. Eastbound 40 between Chesterfield Airport and 270, everything seems to be running smoothly this hour. Northbound 270 from 44 to Marshall Road, look for slow traffic there. Westbound 270 from Riverview to New Halls Ferry, everything is on the move. Westbound 255 from Cook to 55, expect normal traffic. Your bridge approaches stack up like this. Westbound 5570 between the Exchange and the Poplar Street Bridge, look for traffic to be flowing freely. Westbound 64 at 5570, everything looks good. And westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede Landing, everything is on the move there. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by McDonald's Restaurants. This month only, McDonald's fries could mean a Cardinals prize. Free and discounted tickets, road trips, seats from Busch Stadium, and more. Over 3 million prizes and offers. McDonald's, I'm loving it. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. A heat advisory is in effect from noon today until 6 p.m. Otherwise, hot, humid, and hazy with a high in the upper 90s. The heat index reading should reach between 105 and 110 by this afternoon. This evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-70s, but the heat index should remain at around 100 to 105 by early evening hours, so use caution this evening as well. Partly sunny for Thursday with a 40% chance of showers, the high in the lower 90s. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. And then on Friday, mostly sunny skies, the high should only be in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 79 degrees under mostly clear skies with some haze. Lambert Field has 79 as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call that's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
It takes a village to raise a child. That African proverb has special meaning to Hope for the Nations. In locations in 20 countries worldwide, Hope for the Nations combines education, micro-enterprise, agriculture, healthcare, and housing under one roof. These villages bring together the young and the old, the healthy and the sick, singles, families, and the widowed, the weak and the strong, united to build buildings, build families, build resources, build community. It takes you and your support to help Hope for the Nations raise these villages. For more information, go online, visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994.
Charles Gear and Lori Fulkerson provide a sounding board. Anywhere there's a computer, log on at WGNU.net.
This is the award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown. Don't leave home without it.
Well, I think it's fine building jumbo planes, taking a ride on a cosmic train. Switch on summer from a slot machine. Just get what you want if you want, 'cause you can get anything. I know we've come a long way, we're changing day to day. But tell me, where did the children play?
Where do the children play? You ever ask that? In Iraq, where do the babies play? After, and one of the things that George W. Bush, and I looked for a transcript of his speech, wasn't able to find one this morning. Little half an hour speech. One of the things that he said that I thought was just, there was so much foulness in what George W. Bush said. He talked about how the insurgents, that folks that are just really resistance fighters, that they actually, he said, they set off a bomb in front of a mosque. And that the song that I just played about, where do the children play? Fallujah was the city of mosques. Our good government went into Fallujah and leveled it to the ground, the city of mosques. Some mosques hundreds of years old. We leveled them. We spit on their Quran. They spit on their Quran. They stitch people's mouths closed. There's rape, there's murder that we, that this government in our name does. And George W. Bush stood in front of you with a straight face, no irony, and no sense of irony, and absolutely no sense of shame, looked you in the face and said, see how awful those other people are? They blow stuff up in front of a mosque. Well, we level a mosque. What does that make us? You leveled a mosque. What does that make you? Oh, Lord. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Miss Liz Brown.
Brother Al, good morning.
You know, I didn't sleep very well, Liz, after hearing my president and the things that I heard him say in a slight way. But we need to make note of something, Liz. The Al-Qaeda has not been defeated in Afghanistan.
And that's a fact.
He didn't mention that at all.
That's why Russia left, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Liz, you know what I heard him say talking to Harris Schroeder? Oh, don't worry, Germany. We got you back. We're going to be in the middle of this country in Iraq and come up from the south there, from Afghanistan, and you don't have to worry. And we're going to attack Syria, and we're going to attack Iran. You didn't hear that, Liz?
Mm.
I heard that man distinctly say, since the insurgent is coming in from Syria.
He mentioned Sudan.
Sudan. I heard that. He's really concentrating on Syria and Iran.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to do away with the regime that runs those countries.
Because we're going after people for their philosophies. That's what we're going to, for their philosophies and their ideologies. That's why we're fighting people, because of their ideologies.
You know, when you was talking about them bombing in front of the mosque and we blew them away.
Ain't that something?
You know, he says these are the bad guys.
Mm-hmm.
So that make America the good guys fighting this Christian religious war over there. Why would you destroy somebody's temples and churches and mosques if it didn't have something to do with the religion, as the jihad calls it? But you have a nice day, Liz Brown. I don't think I'm going to have one.
Take care of yourself as best you can. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning, Ben.
You know, you're absolutely right. There is no end in sight.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't mean to rant. And the reason why there's no reason, there is no end in sight is because the centerpiece of training Iraqi troops is not going to work. Those Iraqi troops, security forces, will never be able to take the place of the occupying force.
Because their goals aren't the same.
Well, for what, their methods aren't either.
There you go.
Because they'll never have aircraft carriers and B-1 and B-2 bombers.
Bunker busters.
And bunker busters.
Mm-hmm.
They won't have divisions of M-1, A-1 tanks.
Do you think that the Iraqi forces would level mosques all across one city? Do you think that they would ever drop a bomb that would destroy the city of Mosque, Fallujah?
No.
So it'll never be there. And one of the things that George W. Bush, and I don't know if I have this particular quote, but he said that we're not an occupying force. We're not an occupying force. We've built four bases there, four permanent bases. What do you mean we're not an occupying force?
Now, you know, that's interesting, Liz, because I've heard you say that before, yet I heard Tucker Carlson deny that.
Well, he just had his tie on too tight.
We're not building bases there. He said they weren't.
And how would he know that?
Well, it's easy for the Pentagon to hide that from anybody who visits there.
And you know what? And one of the things I was thinking about, Ben, as I was listening to the 30-minute lie that George Bush was perpetrating, I was thinking, you know, this is an administration that has utilized television and newspapers, and the media used it very much to their advantage. They show us pictures of what they want us to show. How come they haven't shown us pictures of what they did in Fallujah? If they're so proud of what they did in Fallujah, why haven't they shown us the leveled ground of Fallujah? Why don't they show us photographs in the light of day that nothing is left in Fallujah? And then show us the photographs of what was there before they bombed it into oblivion.
Yeah, the before and after, like they did the tsunami?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you don't expect that you get that from them, because the whole thing is a lie. And speaking of lies, no one ever mentioned in any discussion before or after little panels and town hall meetings on any of the stations that I serve, weapons of mass destruction.
Mm. He never said that. He said 9/11, but he didn't say weapons of mass destruction, did he?
No, he left that totally out of the equation.
Uh-huh.
And the whole thing with that WMD issue is that Saddam was telling the truth and George Bush was lying.
There you go. There you go. We're going to take a break, folks. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Yeah, I see ya. Yeah, I see ya. I will get to ya right after this. Our long-distance number, of course, is 1-877-920-WGNU. Don't forget, in the next hour, of course, we have the St. Louis Public Schools Watch. Yep, we got a whole lot coming at you. Had a whole lot coming at you. Stay with me.
WGNU's community calendar of events going on in and around the area. Ever wonder where the information comes from? The majority of it comes from our listening audience. If your nonprofit organization would like help promoting its event and ongoing operations free of charge, send all necessary information to calendar@WGNU.net. Please send the correspondence 2 weeks prior to any events. WGNU reserves the right to edit or reject submissions for reasons of time and content.
Hotep, this is Pastor Ray Higgins, and I would like to invite you to tune in to the On One Accord broadcast every Sunday morning from 6 to 8:30 a.m. for the best in liberated gospel music, live talk radio, and powerful messages about truth and right spirituality. Join me right here on WGNU 920 a.m. every Sunday morning from 6 to 8:30 a.m., and let's set our people free. Hotep.
This is your wake-up call, global news update. Dateline Kabul. Still not much information about the helicopter crash in eastern Afghanistan yesterday. The military does say hostile fire likely caused the chopper to go down. No word if any of the 17 people on board the big Chinook survived. Remnants of the Taliban are claiming responsibility for shooting it down. Rescue operations are being complicated because the crash site is in a remote and mountainous area. The helicopter was transporting troops into an area where operations are underway to root out Al-Qaeda militants. So far this year, 29 American soldiers have been killed in Afghanistan. And Dateline Washington. In testimony on Capitol Hill yesterday, a contracting official with the Army Corps of Engineers said that Halliburton deals in Iraq were the absolute worst contract abuse cases she had ever seen. Bunny Greenhouse said that every aspect of the oil contracts in Iraq were under the control of the Donald Rumsfeld office. Pentagon auditors have red flagged over $1 billion of potential overcharges by Halliburton, as well as some $400 million in unsupported costs for work in Iraq. A subsidiary, Kellogg Brown & Root, is the military's largest contractor in Iraq and has been accused of getting its lucrative contracts because Vice President Dick Cheney used to run it. Greenhouse said the most troubling contract was that of supplying oil to the country. It was worth $7 billion and was issued without any competitive bidding process. When she raised concerns about that, her superiors went around her and got a waiver for the company so it would not have to provide any cost or pricing data about the contract. That happened even though the Army did an audit and concluded the military may have been soaked for some $60 million in overcharges to have fuel brought into Iraq because of a shortage of refined oil. This is your wake-up call, global news update.
To me, summer is family time, a time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, World of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head. And then the tube ride, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls. And finally, the wave pool.
Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
Informative, educational, provocative. This is the award-winning Morning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
It's Liz Brown. Oh, yeah. Living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have so much stuff to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. 454-6609 is the fax. We're talking about George W. Bush's 30-minute... concoction of words last night. This is one that was particularly mystifying to me.
We are partnering coalition units with Iraqi units. These coalition Iraqi teams are conducting operations together in the field. These combined operations are giving Iraqis a chance to experience how the most professional armed forces in the world operate in combat.
Abu Ghraib, Guantanamo. Now there are plenty of military people out there that do right all day long. There are plenty of good men and good women out there. But I am mystified by how this is going to work, given the sullied reputation of our military based upon the actions encouraged by, directed by this administration. What happened in Abu Ghraib is because this administration said, do it. When we go over and snatch people from their countries and take them to countries that commit torturous acts that are against the Geneva Convention, we do that at the direction of this administration. So how does this work? The Iraqi people are going to be taught by the same people whose training requires that you remove Iraqi people from the human existence. Okay, when you see them, you call them Hajis, huh? That's your direction how do you train people that your training consists of dehumanizing the enemy? What is it exactly that you're going to tell the Iraqi troops to do? Okay, this is what we do to the Quran. This is how we get them to talk. Huh? Our way of fighting the Iraqi people, because this is what the administration tells the generals. This is what the attorney general directs the generals to do. They have a thing with women. So make them wear women's underwear. Is that what you're going to tell them? Is that how you're going to train the Iraqi people? Or the Iraqi soldiers? What exactly does the training session consist of? When America's training session consists of totally dehumanizing the Iraqi people based upon their religion, based upon their culture, based upon their worldview. So what are you going to tell the Iraqi men that you're talking to do to their own people? I'd like to sit in one of those training sessions, because it's got to be either short, very short, or very violent.
one or the other. It's got to be a very, if they tell the truth, it's got to be a very violent training session. And if they don't tell the truth, it's got to be a very short one. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Ms. Brown, there you go again.
There I go again. I'm sorry.
Where is that other liar, Colin, at? Where is he?
Oh, he's on vacation. He's in Disney World.
He's himself so far away, it is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And now that we got a bigger problem on our hands because the world is watching to see how we fight wars and how we can't fight a war. And we're going to have to fight China one day with a million-man standing army. They are building up base stuff because they know we're coming. And then they think we're going to go over there and do something to Iran. And now the election was flawed. Whenever the election don't go right in any country around the world, it's flawed.
No, if it doesn't go the way they want it to go.
Exactly the way we, America, wanted to go.
That administration.
And then we send these country congressmen over there, over to Abu Ghraib, and everything looks great. Well, man, I know you coming. I'm going to clean up my house. It's Thanksgiving dinner, kid. You know, and now, I don't know why people waste their time watching it. I went to see the movie Crash with Don Cheadle last night. I don't know if you saw it or not.
I do want to talk about that movie eventually. You know what? I watched it because it's my job to watch it.
It is. Yes,
it's my job to watch it.
But why do you need a transcript? You can listen and read anything he said because he repeats it like a Lucille Ball sitcom.
You know, you need to get off my back, okay? You need to just get off my back.
Get your back together, young lady. He's out.
454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fact. And I'm saving the foulest for last. I'm saving the foulest part of his speech for last. Did you hear what that little twisted mister said at the end of his speech? He actually was trying to tell folks to join the army. Enlistments are low. Joining the military is a good thing. Well, when your twins walk into a recruitment office and say, "Put me down for 4 tours," then we'll talk about somebody's else's baby joining the military. If joining the military is such an honorable thing to do at this time in our nation's history, where are the twins at? Where are the twins at? You have children of age. They ain't doing anything for real. Any job they have is one that you hooked up for them. Not like they were straight-A students like you weren't. You know, their job opportunities are slim to none but for their family connections. So why ain't the twins signing up? That is the most galling thing of all in that speech. We supposed to join the army. Why you tell us it's a war forever and ever, amen. It's over. No, no, no. It's over when I say it's over. It's over when I say it's over. Join the army. You know what? You're on a wake-up call. Good morning.
It's over when I say it's over.
Hello?
Join the army. You know
you're
what?
On the wake-up call.
You're on the wake-up call.
You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm outstanding.
You know, I despise the face of George Bush. I despise the name George Bush, so I would not watch. I had on Channel 9, and as soon as I saw him hopping across that stage, I clicked it off. I said, I don't want to hear this stuff. I've heard it for 4-5 years, and I'm sick of listening to him, tired of listening to him. But I don't, you know, the world is watching us.
Mm-hmm.
They're watching to see how stupid the American people are for keeping this man in office. Now, George Bush...
Well, he did this speech because the numbers supporting this war are dropping like an apple from the Eiffel Tower.
Okay. George Bush should have been impeached months ago because he has done everything Article 2, Section 4 in the U.S. Constitution says he should not be doing. There has been bribery, high crimes, misdemeanors. And Congress still keeps voting this man money to dig that hole a little bit deeper. What they should be doing, Liz, is giving him a rope to climb out of that hole by cutting off the funds for this place they call Iraq and stop inviting people over here that he has handpicked to give us a sympathetic talk about what
roll.
They need in Iraq.
Got to roll. This is Liz Brown. I'll be back in the next hour with St. Louis Public Schools Watch talking about pouring money down a hole, rat hole. On from one to another, I'm Liz Brown. Stay with me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. President Bush trying to prop up support for the war in Iraq, telling a primetime audience last night the operation is vital to the security of our country. It's part of the war on terror.
There is only one course of action against them, to defeat them abroad before they attack us at home.
Democrats, including Congresswoman Maxine Waters of California, say the president hasn't been straight with the American people about Iraq.
Connecting the war in Iraq to 9/11, when in fact there really is no connection.
More than 1,700 Americans have been killed in Iraq since the war began. The president said he can't set a timetable for withdrawal of U.S. troops. Military brass say they don't know the status of 17 service members who were on a helicopter that was likely hit by hostile fire before it crashed yesterday in Afghanistan. Some Utah residents watching TV video of their fire-blackened neighborhoods said it looked like something from a Frankenstein movie. Hundreds have been evacuated in southwestern Utah. ABC's Alex Stone in St. George.
It's quite a sight to see four wildfires burning around St. George. We got a good look at them flying in. Even in the middle of the night, flames were very active. It's smoky. People who live here say they've been getting used to the smell. The new concern is a fire burning near the Diamond Valley neighborhood. Flames are close to homes. People living in Diamond Valley have been told to be ready to evacuate.
750,000 acres have burned so far in the West during this wildfire season.
Hear that?
Feel that?
Yeah.
Spielberg's War of the Worlds opens in theaters across the country today, starring Tom Cruise as a divorced dad caring for his kids and battling aliens. Cruise told interviewers in Germany that, of course, he believes there are aliens out there. He tells Das Bild, "Are you really so arrogant as to believe we are alone in this universe?" This is ABC News.
Having diabetes can be a struggle. It means testing your blood several times a day. But all those little drops add up to something big. Living a full, healthy life. We know it takes effort. That's why we made the Essentia Breeze Meter effortless. With its convenient Essentia Auto Disc, you just load the meter once for 10 accurate tests. Ask your doctor or pharmacist for the effortless meter. The Essentia Breeze from Bayer.
My name is Sarah, and when I was about 17, I started Fry Farms. I sold our first load of pumpkins to a local Walmart. And one by one, my brothers came home from college to join me in the business. 10 years later, we're selling millions of cantaloupes, watermelons, and pumpkins that can be found in Walmart stores across the nation. Walmart appreciated the quality of the local produce, and the rural communities have thrived because of our business with Walmart. It makes me feel great. I love it.
The latest design for a more bomb-resistant Freedom Tower at Ground Zero is to be unveiled today in New York. Meanwhile, says ABC's Pam Coulter, a grassroots effort is afoot to restrict the focus of a 9/11 memorial.
9/11 families will take a walking tour of Washington War memorials to highlight the differences between those monuments and the World Trade Center site's proposed International Freedom Center. It plans to showcase advances of freedom, including the civil rights movement and the defeat of Nazism. Jack Lynch lost his firefighter son Michael on September 11th.
Well, 9/11 was the worst attack on American soil in our history. They are trying to sanitize it. They're trying to say, well, let's talk about America's march for freedom.
Lynch says they'll ask Americans to help prevent the 9/11 memory from being hijacked. Pam Coulter, ABC News, Washington.
North Dakota police accusing a man of driving an electric shopping cart around a grocery store while drunk, actually trying to mow down fellow customers. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 7 o'clock hour. In the news this Wednesday, Praxair officials report that asbestos is in the ashes and debris from Friday's blaze at the company's St. Louis plant on Choteau Avenue. Cleanup crews from two hazardous materials teams began removing debris in surrounding neighborhoods last night, and they're expected to complete the neighborhood cleanup by noon today. With homeowners' permission, crews will clean the exterior areas of residents' properties and cars. A company statement says tests from the Missouri Department of Natural Resources indicate that airborne asbestos and other potentially hazardous substances in the area are at acceptable levels. Praxair's statement says asbestos is not hazardous to humans unless it's airborne. It will be a few more weeks before a proposed smoking ban in St. Louis County will go before the St. Louis County Council. A hearing scheduled for yesterday afternoon on the proposed ban was canceled at the last minute. Councilman Kurt Odenwald explains why the hearing was canceled.
After discussion with the chairman of the committee, we decided that so much has come up in the past day or so that have raised some uncertainties about whether we could move forward. We felt it was better to reschedule the meeting to a future date.
Odenwald says he is still hopeful the ban will be passed in some form or another. In its current form, the bill would outlaw smoking in all enclosed public places, with the exception of casinos, bowling alleys, portions of Lambert Airport, and private clubs. The hearing will likely be rescheduled for later this summer. More than a decade after the first transplants of stem cells from umbilical cord blood, scientists are hoping to see the technology and the research expand. Dr. David Harris, the scientific director of Cord Blood Registry, says St. Louis has one of the few umbilical cord blood banks in the country. The St. Louis Cord Blood Bank is affiliated with a transplantation and research program at Cardinal Gwen and Children's Hospital and St. Louis University. Dr. Harris says legislation is pending to take cord blood banking nationwide. Finally this hour, Albert Pujols is still in line to be Tony La Russa's starting first baseman at next month's All-Star Game, although his lead over the Cubs' Derek Lee is steadily shrinking as voting winds down this week. The lead for Pujols is down to about 60,000 votes over Lee, with both players having received more votes than any other player in the National League. Scott Rowland looks as if he will hold off the Cubs' Aramis Ramirez for the starting nod at third base, as he holds an advantage of more than 277,000 votes. Jim Edmonds is also in good shape to start the Midsummer Classic, as he ranks second among outfielders, behind only the Phillies' Bobby Abreu. However, shortstop David Eckstein will need a late rally for a starting gig, as he is more than 44,000 votes behind the Dodgers' Cesar Isturiz. Voting at MLB.com ends tomorrow, with the All-Star Game scheduled for July 12th in Detroit. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Ride Finders. Pumped about gas prices? Pump money back into your pocket by carpooling to work using Ride Finders' free ride matching service. Call Ride Finders at 800-VIP-RIDE. That's 800-VIP-RIDE. That's your look at local news for the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Kohl's Department Stores. Westbound 70 ramp to southbound 270. There's a minor accident. Traffic is getting by on the shoulder. Southbound 255 at 270. Look for an injury accident reported involving a motorcycle. Northbound 55 between Carondelet and a 44, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 44 from Williams to Merrimack River Bridge, everything looks good. Eastbound 40 between 141 and McKnight, look for everything to be running smoothly. Northbound 270 between Gravoy and 44, it is stop and go traffic, and then it's also in the left lane at Doherty Ferry. Westbound 270 at West Florissant, look for very heavy volume in your 7 o'clock commute. Westbound 255 from Jefferson Barracks Bridge all the way into Lindbergh, everything looks good. Your bridge approaches westbound 5570 between 4th Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge, it is slow. Westbound 64 to 5570 merge, look for everything to be normal. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing, no problems there. And also on the south, on the ramp from southwest to eastbound 44, there's a stalled tractor trailer. And Newhall's Ferry at Newcastle, there's a report of an accident this hour. Also, Illinois Route 3 is closed north of 5570 at National City due to a broken water main. Motorists should use 203 if they're heading out of Granite City at this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Kohl's Department Store. Don't miss the spectacular savings this Wednesday. That's today, only at Kohl's. Big Wednesday sales, specials throughout the entire store. Wednesday only at Kohl's. Kohl's, expect great things. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. A heat advisory is in effect beginning at noon and running until 6 p.m. this evening. Otherwise, hazy, hot, and humid with a high in the upper 90s. The heat index should range between 105 and 110 by this afternoon. For this evening, partly cloudy skies with a low to mid-70s. The heat index reading should be between 100 and 105 during the early evening hours. Thursday, partly sunny skies with a 40% chance of showers and a high in the lower 90s. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. And then on Friday, mostly sunny with a high only in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 79 degrees under mostly clear skies with haze. Lambert Field is reporting 79 as well. Stay tuned for Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's St. Louis Public Schools Watch with Peter Downs. That's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 7 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, tell me, sister. It is time for us to use our power. Please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
Some very sad news for all of you and people who love peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that progress is being made. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that the blow that the blow made.
I think I'm hearing revolution.
Well, the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever, more families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemy, the man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
All men are created equal, yet many are denied equal
treatment. And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Is St. Louis Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly in-depth look at developments affecting the education of our children.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to St. Louis Public Schools Watch, and I'm here. I'm Liz Brown, and I'm here with Peter Downs. Good morning, Peter.
Good morning, Liz.
Let's start with budget cuts before budget.
Let's start with budget cuts, job layoffs, program eliminations before we even have a budget.
All right.
What is that? Is that ready, fire, aim type of a thing?
That's what Vince Shamel was famous for. Still goes on.
And the beat goes on. Let's talk about this.
All right. We talked about the start of it a little bit last week. Mm-hmm. 14 employees last week got their layoff notices. And it is kind of the ready, fire, aim thing because mm-hmm. three of them have already been recalled.
Mm.
But they have 11 employees who were eliminated, positions eliminated, including the district photographer, several clerks, special ed, not special ed, community ed specialist. I would say 11 positions that got their layoff notices. Then this week, some more news of some more cuts triggered out at the two Magnet Vision Performing Art elementary schools. They are losing a combined total of 3 art and music teachers.
Wait a minute. This is at the visual performing arts schools.
Yes.
They're losing what makes them a visual performing arts place.
Yes, yes. They're going to cut back in their magnet programs. Very specifically, cut back in their magnet programs.
Now, the magnet programs are the programs that I know from personal experience, from friends of mine, that have kept them from fleeing the district, from paying money to go to Clayton, from paying money to go to private schools. The magnet schools are looking back, Peter, the magnet schools are the one thing that kept a lot of people from fighting on behalf of the district when these cuts started coming down, because it was kind of like, my ox is not being gored, so I've got no problem with what's going on.
Yeah,
and now it's kind of like the adage, you know, first they came for them, then they came for them, and then, you know, finally they came for you, and when you should have been out there when they were coming for the thems out there.
Yeah, I think both parts of your statement are right.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of people who everything was okay as long as their magnet program was
mm-hmm.
okay.
Mm-hmm.
I know I talked to the mother of a girl who plays violin at Shaw, mm-hmm. and she just found out they're going to eliminate all the strings at Shaw as part of this cutback.
And what does she say?
And her reaction was, you know, well, you know, that's what makes this a magnet program. She says they're eliminating. She says, I don't want to send my daughter to a regular public school.
Yeah.
And they're eliminating everything that makes this different from a regular public school.
Mm-hmm. And you sat down when they were taking everybody else's books, when they were taking everybody else. And, you know, and that's part. Peter, I do not believe. I don't have the photographs or the tape recordings of the meetings. But I don't believe that there wasn't a meeting where they sat down and said, we can't go after the magnet schools right away. We have to have, just like any other war, you know, you have a battle plan, you attack the most vulnerable first, and then you eventually get to, when your job is to engage in a war, the war means the elimination of all of their stuff. So there was a meeting, and there had to have been a meeting where they said that our strategy is, let's go after this stuff first, and we'll eventually get to the magnet schools, and that's what they're doing.
Yeah. And I think if you look at the cuts, if you look at the desegregation settlement agreement,
mm-hmm.
you see exactly that, this kind of step-by-step violation of the agreement,
mm-hmm.
step-by-step taking away the programs that the court ordered to address historic segregation in St. Louis public schools.
Mm-hmm.
So they started with class sizes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the settlement agreement says you will have smaller class sizes, and they specify smaller class sizes for kindergarten through fourth grade. And, you know, last year they said, no, we're going for the maximum allowed by the state, and they're going to continue that. In fact, part of their balancing, they call it now, is, oh, gee, we still had some classes that weren't the maximum allowed by the state. Yeah.
And that's it. That's kind of like the practice of the current administration in naming things like no child left behind when every child is left behind. The word balancing, you know, it sounds kind of reasonable, doesn't it? We want to balance the class sizes in our schools, but the reality of the action is that the class sizes that are the size that they are supposed to be, the few that there are, the balancing is to make them the maximum size allowable by law, and to exceed that in some cases, too.
That's right. And that, you know, what they call balancing is part of the reason for cutting, that they're using for cutting arts programs at these schools.
Huh?
At these schools that had five or six art specialties. You know, children, the students could pick to concentrate on vocal music or instrumental music or art or dance or drama. And what the district has done is say, look, boy, you have 75, 80 kids in fifth grade, and they choose between five art specialties. You end up with fewer than 20 kids per, taking one of these specialized classes. You might have, and it varies, of course, with the popularity of the teachers. So you might have a class with seven kids in it, while there's another class with 30 kids in it. Well, we need to balance those. So let's reduce the children's choices. Reduce the choices they have for arts. They got fewer choices. They got to be more of them in each choice.
So we're packing them as thick as we can pack them, is really what they're saying. This is not about balancing. This is about packing them as thick as we can pack them.
Yes. Yes.
And it's just heartbreaking. It is just absolutely heartbreaking when you look at what the reality of this is. There is nothing that we said in the beginning that is not coming true. There isn't anything that we've said that has not, this district has not done. How do you defend a district that is the very last vestige, the very last thing that made anybody want to stay in this district are the magnet schools? And now the theory of the magnet schools is that, you know what, we're going to pack them as thick as the rest of the schools.
Yeah, and I can't disagree there. I want to add just another anecdote, because I know of a family we talked about before, which was upset when they cut out the three-year-old preschool.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another magnet program. Preschool started with three-year-olds, and they, without announcing anything, just parents found out kind of after the fact this spring that no, they weren't going to let three-year-olds in. They wanted to just let four-year-olds in. Again, three-year-old preschool is another thing specified in the desegregation agreement. It's another order that's being broken, and I do know of at least one family that said, oh, we can't get three-year-old preschool here. They have, since May, moved out to the county.
Mm-hmm. And here's the other piece. We have a new person, another unqualified person, sitting in the seat of the superintendent, Craig, C-R-E-G, Williams. And one of the things that Craig said that he was going to do after he got his $300,000-plus job was, we're going to talk to families. We're going to have meetings with the community. We're not going to do what was done before. How many town hall meetings were held with the families of kids that went to Shaw and to Ames before these packing procedures began?
None that I'm aware of.
How do you make a decision to cut all of these teachers and these classes and to pack the children in the way that they're going to pack them into classes, this packing process? How do you do that without having a meeting? I mean, we saw the press conference on the school yearbook. We saw a press conference on wrap snacks. In the hallways. They didn't take the chips out. They just took the wrap snacks out. We saw that press conference. How come we haven't seen a press conference from CREG on the elimination of music programs and the packing of our children? I know you don't have an answer.
Yeah, I don't have an answer for that.
But we know that it hasn't taken place.
No, it hasn't taken place. And I think, you know, just as you were alluding to earlier, we've had all these promises for a new honesty and new openness.
New honesty and openness.
And yet, they talk about balancing and don't explain that means, oh, we're cutting music programs.
Mm-hmm.
They talk about balancing. They say, oh, well, we are going to just eliminate subs. We're keeping jobs for everybody. And they don't say, we're cutting out 23 librarians from the school system.
Mm. And here's the other piece of it that should accompany this whole packing process by this district. We are not in a budget crisis. We're running a surplus. So they're packing the babies. They're eliminating teachers for no need. We're not in a budget crisis. We have a surplus, right?
We have a surplus. They would argue there's a need and that there's this debt that they haven't paid off. Certainly there are two board members who have been very vocal at saying we need to make bigger cuts because they want the debt paid off in 1 year, and that's Bob Archibald and Vincent Shamel.
So I imagine
we talked about this. Vincent Shamel said we need to jump off the bridge and see if anyone lives.
So I guess that means that the first year of his mortgage, he paid off his house the next year, right? If he was,
it'd be the same thing. If he was consistent,
yeah. So how many positions are we talking about that have been eliminated before a budget has been approved, with the understanding that there is a surplus in this budget, and how many teachers' jobs have been eliminated? Without any public hearings or public discussions at all, how many teaching positions are we talking about?
All told, I don't really know that the cuts that we can point to that specifically been announced and teachers already getting getting told about them is that there are about 50 already.
50 teachers' positions without a single public discussion, without a budget being approved, and with a surplus.
Yes, yes. Their public information officer says there will be 213 positions eliminated total. That's between downtown and teachers.
With no public discussion.
It hasn't been approved yet. No budget has been approved
with no public discussion. These are the eliminations that they're talking about making.
Yeah, and that does not include the custodians' positions.
Let's roll to the custodians because we talked about this custodian thing, 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago,
yes,
maybe, that they had nothing coming to them?
Yes.
Okay. Has that changed?
No. No. The custodians, all the custodian positions are going to be eliminated in St. Louis Public Schools.
All of them are going to be. So what's SEIU doing about this? What is their response? How do we get to this place where we predicted that it was going to happen, that they would eliminate all the custodian positions? How do we get to that place?
The SEIU had a meeting supposed to be with the superintendent and the chief operating officer on June 22nd.
Okay, last week?
This is the meet and confer that's required by state law.
Mm-hmm.
That the district initially was not going to do, but after representatives of a different union, of the station engineers, protested that the budget was illegal because it didn't consult with employees on changes in their health and safety, the board ordered the superintendent to meet and confer with employees.
Superintendent now, didn't say, okay, let's do that. The board told him to do that.
Yes. Yes. Huh. Now, the superintendent wasn't actually at this meeting. Right? After he set it up, he wasn't there.
Oh, Mr. Meet and Greet wasn't there.
So, no, they had the chief operating officer, Gary Huey, there. And the way the employees of the meeting described it, it wasn't so much a meet as confer as a meet and dictate.
Mm.
The custodians went in. They went in trying to make a deal. They went in. They said, look, we will cut our health benefit in half. We'll pay half the cost of our health insurance ourselves. We'll do whatever you ask to keep our jobs. What cuts do you want? Tell us what you want in order to keep us here employees.
They said we want your firstborn. They said we want your house. They said you don't have enough to give us of what we want.
Gary Huey said, well, I think it's a little more ideological than that. You know, Gary Huey said, we don't want anything from you. We don't want you.
Oh! Oh, that's so sad. That is so, we don't want you. Period dot.
Period dot. That's right.
Ain't nothing that you can get for me. I don't want you.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do to make us change our mind. We've decided we don't want you. And you can either go with the company that you signed a contract with, you can stop fighting for your jobs and go with that company, or we'll just give the contract to somebody else and you'll be out completely.
And so what did SEIU say to that? They represent the custodians. What did they say to that? And I want to talk about a strike thing, too. I want to talk about the opportunities that the custodians had to strike, but we have to take a break. We're going to leave you on that cliffhanger, folks. We're going to come back and talk about what SEIU said and if the S word was mentioned. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Of course, this is Wednesday, so we're doing the St. Louis Public Schools Watch with Peter Downs. A wonderful world indeed.
And I think to myself, what a wonderful world. I see skies of blue and clouds of white, the bright blessed day, the dogs say goodnight. And I think to myself, what a wonderful world.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour, 7 o'clock, AM 920, WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with the Sowers Traffic and Weather. Sowers Traffic is sponsored by Kohl's Department Stores. Westbound 70 to southbound 270. That incident has been cleared, but there's still a bit of a jam there. Southbound 255. After 270, there's an injury accident involving a motorcycle. Northbound 270 at 44. In the right shoulder, there's an accident, and it is moved from the left center lane. Traffic jams back to near Gravois, then slow again approaching Big Bend. Northbound 55 between Germania and Lafayette. Look for no problems to report. Eastbound 44 from Antire to Soccer Park. Everything's on the move. Eastbound 40 at Mason, look for slow traffic this hour. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Florissant, look for very heavy volume in your 7:30 commute. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, you have slow volume there as well. Looking at your bridge approaches, westbound 5570 between 3rd Street and the Poplar Street Bridge, you have slow traffic in buckets. Westbound 64 to 5570 merge, everything looks good. And westbound Kingbridge traffic before Laclede's Landing, everything looks good there as well. Illinois Route 3 is closed north of 5570 at National City due to a broken water main. Motorists can use 203 if they're heading out of Granite City. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Kohl's Department Store. Don't miss Kohl's Spectacular Savings this Wednesday, today only. Kohl's Big Wednesday specials throughout the entire store, Wednesday only at Kohl's. Kohl's, expect great things. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. Heat advisory is in effect from noon today until 6 p.m. this evening. Otherwise, hazy, hot, and humid with a high in the upper 90s. The heat index is expected to reach between 105 and 110. By this early afternoon. For this evening, partly cloudy skies, low in the mid-70s, but the heat index should be registering between 100 and 105 during the early evening hours, so use caution. Partly sunny skies for Thursday with a 40% chance of showers. The high should be in the lower 90s. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. And then on Friday, mostly sunny skies, but the high will only be in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under clear skies with haze, we have 79 degrees. Lambert Field is reporting clear skies with haze as well. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning wake-up call. It's St. Louis Public Schools Watch with Peter Downs. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, traffic, and weather in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
Is the IRS ruining your life? Are you afraid of losing everything? You can end the despair you feel right now. Get ready to write down an important phone number you're going to need to solve your IRS nightmare. The number is 800-376-9913.
Hello, I'm John Harris, president of J.K. Harris & Company, the nation's largest tax representation firm. IRS problems have a way of ruining every aspect of your life if you let them. Our former IRS agents and tax professionals have successfully negotiated settlements for thousands of our clients, saving them millions of dollars.
According to IRS statistics, the average settlement for accepted offers in compromise was between 12 and 15 cents per tax dollar owed, which means you could qualify to reduce your tax debt by as much as 85%. If you owe the IRS back taxes, call J.K. Harris at 800-376-9913. You may qualify
apply to dramatically reduce your tax debt. Call 800-376-9913. That's 800-376-9913.
It'll be fun. It'll be cool. It'll be Sports Talk with Kevin Paulus, as close as your computer, at WGNU.net.
Scientists and doctors are agreeing more and more that diet can determine whether a person lives a long, healthy life or a life full of unnecessary disease and even death.
I have diabetes, and after gradually changing my diet and getting more exercise, I've noticed my sugar level has become stable and my feet don't swell as much.
My blood pressure has been high for 3 years. Once I stopped eating salt and slowed down on eating oily foods, my blood pressure has gotten back to normal.
It seems like I gained weight just by looking at food. But now that I had the knowledge and most importantly the discipline to make conscious healthy choices, my whole life has changed.
Obesity, diabetes, and heart disease cause millions of deaths each year. Every 45 seconds, someone in America suffers from a stroke. Join the battle against these controllable and preventable diseases. Listen to Healthy Alternatives.
Create a healthy future today.
Before you go to the movies, go to Radio Free St. Louis. Find out what's worth seeing and what's not worth the bother. Join Dave Lenahan and Mark Glass for What's Good New at the Movies, a regular feature of Today's Solutions, Friday afternoons at 4:10 on Radio Free St. Louis, AM 920 WGNU. Also online at www.blacktie-stlewis.com.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Seems my life is finally coming together. Feels so good, don't think I've ever been better. It's clear to me my future will bring the peace I've been longing.
St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back. I'm Liz Brown, and this is the School Watch. Peter, we're talking about the custodians. So they basically were told by the St. Louis Public Schools, we don't want you, period, dot. That's it.
That's it.
That's it.
Then, yeah. So, we don't want you, so shut up and take the bone you're getting.
Yep.
And so my information is that the contract committee of custodians took a vote at that meeting and decided to go ahead and take the bone, accept the contract with Shearn and give up the fight. Told the thinking of the majority was,
we don't want to
lose our jobs completely, so let's take the opportunity to apply for jobs at Shearn.
But again, wait a minute. There's no guarantee at Shearn either, is there?
No.
The union didn't craft out an absolute guarantee that they're going to get to keep their jobs at Shearn, did they?
No. In the last school board meeting, Harry Rich, I think it was the executive describing the contract at school board. He said that custodians will be able to apply. They'll have first right to apply for jobs at Shearn.
That's not
and
first
if they
right.
pass the screening, if they pass the screening, then they'll have jobs.
And who decides whether they've passed the screening or not?
Well, that'll be Shearn.
So they
perhaps in consultation with Sodexo and
perhaps,
the Board of Education,
perhaps.
But not in consultation with the union, I'm sure.
So they have nothing. The janitors, I mean the custodians, have nothing. There are no guarantees at all. Nothing. They're not. When you think of the word protected, this situation that the custodians are in, they're not protected.
Yeah, there are no guarantees. I can't argue with you here.
And the other piece of this is that, and maybe my understanding of the deal that was crafted out by SEIU is SEIU, everybody that if this contract goes to Shern, and if Shern accepts some of the custodians that come from the St. Louis Public Schools, if they decide to accept some of them, those custodians have to join the union. So SEIU conceivably could be the person, the entity that gains something with this. Because they conceivably, all custodians are not members of SEIU 2000, correct?
No, I don't think so. A lot are.
A lot are, but all are not.
Yeah.
But everyone that gets a job with Shern would be required to be a member of SEIU.
Yes.
Now, what would be in it? Shern is non-union, right?
Right.
Why would Shern want union members to be part of their job force? Why would they do that? What would be in it for Shern? Why would a company that has no union workers start accepting union workers? Why would they do that?
Right. Well, I think in this case, Shern was told by the school district, make this easy for us, and you'll get a contract from us.
And
that's what it's all about. And it's not about any long-term commitment to the union.
No. And Shern doesn't have to take a single custodian. And the question is why would they take? I mean, they can write anything down on a piece of paper that they want to, but the bottom line comes down to they get to decide who's going to work for their company and who is not going to work for their company. They are not required to take anybody that they don't want.
Right.
And what would be the advantage of a non-union company all of a sudden let union people into the midst of their company to get up in there and to start organizing their other employees?
Well, I think they're going to be segregated from their other employees. One of the things the agreement does specify is that the people hired to be in St. Louis Public Schools will be just in St. Louis Public Schools.
Mm-hmm.
They aren't going to mix them with their people who they send out to clean at, Washington University or the Equity Building or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there is that segregation there.
But again, I'm looking for what's in it for Shern.
Yeah, well, I think, part of making it easy, I think... Realistically, making this easy as a business practice is they're going to have to hire at least some of the custodians who are there because they need to hire people who know the schools and know what's going on.
So that they can train other people and then let them go.
Yes.
Mm. Whew. Okay. So, from one bad news to another bad news. So, what else do we have on the agenda here, Peter? To address. We have a school board meeting coming up.
There's a special school board meeting coming up on July 12th.
Mm-hmm.
That's when they will approve the budget. That's going to contain all these things we're already talking about, all these things that are already happening. They'll approve the budget on July 12th.
One of the scariest things that we wanted to talk about this morning that is just... this stuff just leaves you breathless. It's just horrifying. Each story that comes out of this is what's happening to our special needs babies in this district. It's horrifying.
Well, what has been happening has been horrifying. There may actually be some improvements coming down the road here. The special education has it's been sick for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And it really... I can't say for sure. It really touched bottom, but there's really a lot of destruction that went on in the year that Roberti was here. So we have to look really at how much it was destroyed by this board, by this board majority, under Roberti just 2 years ago, with schools closings, with people laid off in the central office. But a note from a teacher who was teaching then and describing a situation in her school. And talked about how for the kids in her class or special ed, she had absolutely no records, no individual education plans to tell her what services these kids need, no information on any of the schools on any of these students whatsoever, and no way to get it.
And she couldn't find the kids. Right? They couldn't. When you went to central office, they couldn't find the kids' records.
They couldn't find the kids' records. You know, this is after they cut a bunch of people from central office who knew where things were. But so you had a period just 2 years ago where across the board, kids were not getting the services for the special needs they have. And it was set up with the parents who tried to do something about it got the runaround. You go complain to special ed department. Well, you go to your school and complain, my child's not getting, I have a copy of my child's IEP. Look, you aren't doing X, Y, and Z that specified my child's IEP. And the principal says, oh, well, that's special education. You got to talk to the special education department. You go to the special education department, they say, oh, well, you know, the principal controls things in her school. You got to go talk to the principal. You get bounced back and forth with nobody taking responsibility.
We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown, St. Louis Public Schools Watch. I'm here with Peter Downs. We will be back after this. Stay with us.
Sister Ruby Somerville Dixon for Something Old, Something New, every Saturday morning at 6:30 here on WGNU. It's a delightful mix of the latest gospel sounds, plus traditional favorites, with a blend of church calendar activities. Listen for Something Old, Something New with Ruby Somerville Dixon, Saturday mornings at 6:30, right here on WGNU.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Baghdad. Two more American soldiers have been killed in two separate car bomb attacks. One died near a base outside Balad when a suicide car bomber detonated his device. The second was killed when a car bomb blew up near a combat patrol west of Tikrit. Meanwhile, another major operation has been launched to root out insurgents in Anbar province. And the military says another 800 Iraqi policemen have finished their training and have now started patrol duties in their country. And Dateline New York. New allegations are surfacing that the United States is secretly holding terrorism suspects on board American military ships at sea. The United Nations has found out about it and is demanding a list of the ships, their locations, and those being held. This comes just a week after the UN accused America of stalling on requests to have a look at Guantanamo Bay. If it turns out that the U.S. is indeed holding people captive on ships at sea, it would mean the world's biggest democracy is actually practicing enforced disappearances and using secret detention camps. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
More splash for your cash every day? Choose the place with short lines, big thrills, and more water fun than ever. Raging Rivers. Ride the tide at Breaker Beach. Relax on the endless river. Slide, spin, and splash in Swirl Pool. Play for hours in Treehouse Harbor. And don't forget, Itty Bitty Surf City. It's just for kids. Get all this and more, plus an incredible view of the mighty Mississippi, all for one low price. So bring your family, bring your friends, and get more splash for your cash at Raging Rivers. Now open daily at 10:30 a.m. on the Great River Road in Grafton. Save $3 off the regular price admission with coupons available at your Schnucks.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, Black-owned and Black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% of the difference. That's the Sears price match plus policy.
So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union. Jerome Williams,
389-9700. This is the...
One of these mornings, you're gonna rise up singing. Then you spread your wings and take to the sky. But until that morning, there is nothing can harm you. No, 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 no. With Daddy and Mommy stand by.
This is the St. Louis City Schools Watch with Peter Downs, a weekly feature of the award-winning Wake Up Call.
Welcome back, welcome back, welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and I'm here, of course, since this is the St. Louis Public Schools Watch, I'm here with Peter Downs. Let me get to a caller here, and then we'll get back to our discussion, Peter, on special needs children in the St. Louis Public Schools. Renee.
Yes, good morning, Liz.
Good morning.
Good morning, Peter.
Good morning.
I voted for you. You're going to win next time. Don't worry. I was calling really to ask a question regarding the librarians. As you well may know or not, the librarians were cut the week before school let out. And supposedly, from what I understand from one of the librarians, is that they are actually going to send some librarians to two and three different schools next year instead of having a librarian at every school. And all the librarians supposedly will not necessarily be picked necessarily by their credentials as much as their years of service in the district. This is a concern to me just because, you know, we have a reading issue in our district with the children. They're not reading to level. So why the superintendent would go in and cut librarians, I have no idea. But they were told the Friday before that 13th that we were out of school. So I was just calling to find out if Peter knew anything else on update. Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good morning.
And the other piece of that is that, you know, Craig Williams hasn't passed his superintendent test yet, so it's not, you know, people keep referring to him as a superintendent, but the reality is that he doesn't have the credentials yet to be a superintendent. He's gotten a waiver like Roberti got, right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
On the librarians, I think we mentioned earlier, my information is that 23 librarians were cut, and the same as the caller just mentioned, librarians are going to have to split time between schools. And, you know, one of the things that's really odd about this is that one of the things that the district lost points on when it was up for accreditation last time was not having its school libraries open long enough hours.
Jesus.
And I think what they're trying to do, they must have gotten a waiver from DESE or something. You know, I don't know for sure about this, but they were appealing to DESE to let them open have the libraries open without librarians.
Jesus.
And so, you know, if they didn't get that, then cutting these librarians, splitting time between schools, the libraries are going to be open even fewer hours at those schools if they have to be staffed by librarians. So that doesn't help towards accreditation. Unless, again, DESE, and we've had a problem with DESE waiving requirements for this district before. They may have said, yeah, all we want is the room open. You don't have to have a trained librarian in there.
Why would a parent send their child to a school district that said, we have libraries but no librarians? I mean, that's one of the best memories that I have of school is going into the library, talking to the librarian helping me, the librarian showing me where the... How does a child learn how to use a library?
If there's not a librarian there, how do you protect the books in the library if there's no librarian there? How do you in good conscience say that you have a school when you have a library with no librarians in it?
Those are all good questions. I don't have good answers.
This is just so awful. And again, the elimination of librarian positions, again, was done when we don't have a budget that's been voted on yet. We haven't decided a budget. We haven't had a single meeting for parents or the community to weigh in on this decision-making. And we have a budget surplus. We're in a budget surplus. So this stuff is just it's just amazing and foul.
Yes.
So let's go back to the special needs children.
Okay. The special education in the district is being the words they use is totally revamped.
Mm-hmm.
And I can understand your skepticism given what we just talked about with librarians, music, everything else, a lot of skepticism about what it's going to mean. I have talked to the former director of special ed, who was fired last November, who maintains that she tried, in the 3 years she was there as director, she tried to reorganize the department. She tried to get authorization to reorganize the department. None of the superintendents would let her. And she feels that, all right, finally it's being done. People across the board admit special ed was not being, just wasn't being handled right in the district for a long time.
So who's in charge of making the decision that it's going to be revamped and done better and done right?
Maureen Rauscher is the administrator in charge of special education and student services. One part of the reorganization, again, some of it is familiar. They're going to have a director for special education and a director for student services, which is what they had 3 years ago.
Before Roberti.
He combined them both under one director when he came in. They are supposedly putting special ed people directly under what right now is being called assistant superintendents. I understand their titles are being changed. Some of this, it's hard to tell. All right, how much is it just a title change?
Title change without experience.
And nothing else.
Title change without experience or expertise is meaningless. I mean, I could change my title from doctor to lawyer tomorrow. I mean, from lawyer to doctor tomorrow. That doesn't make me a doctor.
Some of this we have to wait and see what happens. We do know of the 13 people in the special ed office downtown, the 13 people who were there, say, 6 months ago, I think 11 are being replaced.
With who?
Some of those are being fired. Some are retiring. They have been hiring people. They hired five new people. There was some controversy in that because the hiring committee was all white.
Wait a minute. We're supposed to trust or have faith or keep hope alive for people that are making budgetary decisions without a budget. For people that are cutting teachers when there's a surplus of money, for people that are closing out programs without any public discussion, we're supposed to keep hope alive that the decisions that they're making about special ed are going to be ones that work out well for everybody.
Well,
is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying keep hope alive. I'm saying hope springs eternal.
Yeah, not here. What they say, hope don't live here no more. This place is just. You're on the St. Louis Public Schools Watch.
Good morning. I was calling because, Peter, I was at that meeting last time, and I thought the superintendent said there was a rumor about cutting the librarians. And that's one statement. And another thing.
Wait a minute, he said it wasn't true.
That it wasn't true. And then on top of that, I thought he was calling himself going to try to keep the arts program going because he finds that it's very effective with children's learning.
Well, now you clear on CREG Williams.
Right. Then on top of that, I think our basic problem is Harry Rich and that crew and Ben Shamel. They need to get rid of Harry Rich. Man don't know what he's doing. And number two, when they moved VAP and Central together, that was a waste of millions of dollars. Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Ruth. again, the idea that people are being, it's being represented to people that there's a new way of doing. Now that we have a new $300,000 superintendent, that we're going to have discussions, we're going to have public outreach, we're going to talk to the public about stuff before decisions are made. And now, you know, according to the caller, you were there. Did Craig Williams say that it was a rumor about the library?
Yeah, yes. Now she reminds me. I do remember that.
He said it was a rumor, but it's not a rumor. It's true.
You know, again, we're seeing more and more that things are the same. We're seeing more and more that they're still saying one thing in meetings and at the top, and then they're doing something else.
But we don't have any more wrap snacks in the St. Louis Public Schools. Woohoo! Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I'm here with Peter Downs. We're bringing this to an end, but that's okay. We'll be back next week. Do we have a school board meeting before next week?
No.
All right, Peter Downs, I'll see you next week. And we're going to talk about this amazing story coming out of Success for All Foundation.
Yes.
Okay, we'll talk about that with national repercussions. With national repercussions. This is Liz Brown. I'll be back after the break. Stay with me.
Take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches. There's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
The latest from ADC News. I'm Joan Bennett. Iraq, the latest battleground in the war on terror, says President Bush, trying to convince the American people and the world that the U.S. mission in Iraq is worth the sacrifice.
The best way to honor the lives that have been given in this struggle is to complete the mission.
President Bush, in a primetime speech delivered at Fort Bragg, North Carolina, said he won't send more troops to Iraq, but also can't set a timetable for their withdrawal. Democrats, including Senator Joseph Biden, say the president's speech was short on specifics.
He said, stay the course. The course we're on now is not a course for success. We must succeed. He has to change the course. He has to get more folks involved. He has to stand up that army much quicker. And he has to train an officer corps. All of this is only now beginning to be done. And we're way behind the curve.
The crash of a U.S. military helicopter with 17 service members aboard in Afghanistan yesterday wasn't an accident, according to coalition spokesman Colonel James Yonce.
Initial reports indicate the crash may have been caused by hostile fire. The status of the service members remain unknown still at this time.
On Aruba, investigators say thanks but no thanks to offers of U.S. help in the investigation of missing Alabama teen Natalie Holloway. ABC's Jim Hickey on Aruba.
ABC News has learned Arubian officials have declined the assistance offered by U.S. law enforcement, such things as polygraph expertise and other resources. FBI presence on this island has been reduced in recent days. And while some critics of Arubian police call the investigation slow, U.S. officials involved in overseeing the operation give it the more diplomatic term, measured. Jim Hickey, ABC News, Aruba.
They've been planning this for a million years.
Steven Spielberg's War of the Worlds opens nationwide today. This is ABC News.
Once again, another piece of winning advice from Jennifer Openshaw. This segment is brought to you by LendingTree. When banks compete, you win.
I'm a big believer in using what you've got, especially in building your financial security. And one thing most of us have right now is a home. Home prices have appreciated 50% in the last 5 years. The winning question is how to use that equity to build more wealth. First, think long-term. Mortgage rates are near 40-year lows, and that means borrowing from your home to finance a business or new property could cost you just 4% after the tax deduction. And second, use that money wisely. Think like an investor so you'll get an even better return on the money you do borrow from your home. Just make sure that whatever happens, you can always make your payments.
If you're thinking about taking advantage of the equity in your home, make sure you visit LendingTree.com, where you can get up to 4 real offers in just minutes. Whether you want a home equity loan or are looking to refinance your mortgage, when banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com or call 1-800-555-TREE. See website for sponsorship details and licensing.
Budget-busting health care costs for veterans have lawmakers scrambling to stem the flow of red ink.
The Veterans Administration says it'll be hit with an unexpected $1 billion in extra health care costs this year, in part because budget planning used figures from before the Iraq War began. With Democrats warning of an impending crisis in care, Senate Republicans are offering a $1.5 billion infusion to the VA budget. House Republicans are more skeptical of the need for emergency action. Majority Leader Tom DeLay said Democrats are playing politics, trying to make it a symbol of war mismanagement. The Veterans Affairs Chief says he can juggle funds and make do this year, but will need the extra money next year. Pam Coulter, ABC News, Washington.
The economy logged a solid 3.8% growth rate in the first quarter of this year, a fresh sign the expansion is on firm ground, the strong housing market adding to the growth. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Bryant-Meyer with your WGNU news update for the 8 o'clock hour. In the news this Wednesday, in North St. Louis County, man remains jailed on $150,000 bond for allegedly sexually assaulting a 4-year-old girl. Authorities say a fight broke out last Friday between 66-year-old Benny Jones and another man after Jones was allegedly caught assaulting the young victim. Jones is charged with first-degree statutory sodomy. Several revenue offices in the city of St. Louis were closed for short periods during the last several weeks while they were being transferred from state control to private contractors. Mara Browning, a spokesperson for the Missouri Department of Revenue, says this is partly due to Amendment 3, which stopped the diversion of money to the department. Browning says the North Kings Highway branch is still closed, but it's expected to open in the very near future. Baseball legend Stan Musial has another baseball field named after him. Yesterday, Cardinals Care dedicated the Stan Musial Field at Coneman Park in Jennings. At the celebration, Stan the Man shared some of his most treasured memories as a Cardinals player.
One time, he didn't show up at the game, you know, and in those days they sat close to the dugout, and I noticed he was missing, and I said, she said, well, I didn't come to the game, I went to see a show with a friend of mine. I said, Lil, if I'm spending money on the babysitter, you come to the game.
This is the first St. Louis ball field named after Musial. The Stan Musial Field will be home to the Redbird Rookies youth baseball program. Finally this hour, Matt Morris hopes to get back on the winning track when the Cardinals conclude a quick 2-game series with the Reds at 7:10 tonight at Busch Stadium. Morris's string of 8 straight victories to start the season was snapped last Thursday by the Pirates, and he will be looking to rebound tonight against a team he is 6-4 lifetime against with a 4.10 ERA. Cincinnati sends Ramon Ortiz to the mound with a record of 3-5 and an ERA over 6. The right-hander did, however, beat the Cardinals last week by giving up 3 runs in 7 innings. The Redbirds are 3-2 halfway through their homestand to see their record go to 48-28. The last place Reds are losers of 3 in a row and have fallen to 30-46. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Orkin Pest Control. Did you know one roach could represent 200 others inside your walls? The Orkin man knows, and he can help de-roach your home. Remember, if it bugs you, bug the Orkin man at 1-800-ORKIN-MAN. That's your look at local news for the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 7 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howland Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Northbound 55 at Lindbergh, there's an accident reported on the exit ramp. Eastbound 44 between Chrysler and Big Bend, look for no problems reported. Eastbound 40 is slow, approaching 141 all the way to Mason. Westbound 270 from West Florissant to Washington Elizabeth, look for very heavy volume this hour. Westbound 255 from Cope to 55, expect normal traffic. Eastbound 40 between Spady and Lindbergh, look for slow traffic as well. Northbound 270 from Tesson Ferry to 44, expect stop-and-go traffic. Westbound 40 between McCausland and Hanley, look for slow traffic there as well. Eastbound 40 between Brentwood and Hanley, you have slow traffic, and your bridge approaches shape up like this. Westbound 5570 between 4th Street all the way into the Poplar Street Bridge, it is slow traffic, particularly on the right-hand side. Westbound 64 to 5570 merge, no problems there. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from the Illinois Bank all the way into Laclede's Landing, look for very heavy volume there as well. And Illinois Route 3 is closed just north of 5570 at National City due to a broken water main. Motorists should use an alternate by heading 203 to get out of Granite City this hour. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, even Toyotas, need periodic maintenance. And when it's time, make sure you bring your car to your local Toyota dealer offering factory-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. That's Toyota confidence. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. A heat advisory is in effect beginning at noon today until 6 p.m. this evening. Otherwise, hazy, hot, and humid with a high in the upper 90s. The heat index is expected to reach between 105 and 110 by this afternoon. For this evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-70s. The heat index reading should be between 100 and 105 by early evening hours. For Thursday, partly sunny skies, a chance for showers and thunderstorms. The high should be in the lower 90s. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. Then on Friday, mostly sunny skies with a high only in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, under clear conditions, we have 80 degrees with some haze. Lambert Field is reporting clear skies and haze as well as 79 degrees. Stay tuned for more of the award-winning Wake Up Call with your host, Liz Brown. She's up next. We'll take another look at your traffic and weather in the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown. Well, you don't want to miss the next hour either. We're going to have a professor, Jonathan Marks from Yale, on to talk about something that I'm certain that you haven't heard anyplace else. I'm certain that you haven't made that other billion-dollar media outlets have not made it clear to you. How do how does the military come up with the torture for Guantanamo, the torture at Abu Ghraib, the torture in Baghdad of prisoners? How do they come up with that? How do they know what to use, or how do they learn what theories to put into practice? Well, apparently they're using doctors. There's a study that has come out that medical personnel have been told to volunteer to interrogators information that the CIA needs in order to become more effective interrogators. You think this is a little unethical? There was a report that was published at the end of last week that shows that this is being done, a clear violation of medical ethics. And we're going to be talking about that with Professor Jonathan Marks, one of the author. He's a London lawyer, and he's also Professor Jonathan Marks. He's a London lawyer who is also a fellow at bioethics, and he's going to be talking about the ethicalness of this. Is there a separation between intelligence gathering and patient care? If a doctor discovers that a patient has a fear of spiders, the military is saying that the doctor needs to tell us this so that we can be more effective in our torture techniques. We call it interrogation. Tomato, tomato. We're going to be talking about that in the next hour. You don't want to miss that. And as we busy ourselves in preparation for the next hour, as we prepare our minds to get to that place, know this, coming out of the United Nations, that this administration the policies of this administration on indefinite detention and extraordinary rendition are coming under fire from a number of institutions and organizations, including the UN. Secretary General, UN Secretary General Kofi Annan said, and I quote, "The prohibition of torture is non-negotiable. Without explicitly naming the United States," he said, "that includes an absolute ban on transferring anybody to another jurisdiction where there are reasonable grounds to believe that that person is at risk of torture." The world is saying there isn't any wiggle room on this issue of torture. There is the prohibition of torture is non-negotiable. Not even if we really, really hate him. Not if we really, really, really are kind of sure we think he might have something to do a little with something bad out there. You can't torture him either. Our people, our country, this administration is run amok. Has run amok. And if you listen to George W. Bush's speech last night, He tries to let you believe. I mean, I want you to listen to these words and see if you feel comforted in the plan of this administration.
The principal task of our military is to find and defeat the terrorists.
Huh? To find and to defeat the terrorists. But if the terrorists are everywhere, what's the plan? That's like a plan put together by a three-year-old. There is no plan. A three-year-old doesn't plan. They just articulate their desires. I want to drive the car. Well, baby, you're three. How are you going to drive the car? I'm going to drive the car. Sweetie, what's your plan on how you're going to drive the car? To drive the car. No, darling, that's not a plan. That's a desire. That's an expression of will. That's an articulation of what your wants are. But adults have plans of execution. And it is not simple fighting a war. A war involves a plan. And Howard, hit me with that again, please. Hit me with that again, please.
The principal task of our military is to find and defeat the terrorists.
That's not a plan. That's not a plan. When a three-year-old tells you, I want to drive the car, or I'm going to drive the car, what's your plan, baby? How are you going to do that? How are you going to move the pedals? How are you going to see above the steering wheel? How are you going to turn the key? Where are you going to get the key from? When you drive, where is it that you're going to drive? How are you going to put gas in the machine? What are you going to do about your insurance? How are you going to pay for that? You have a job. You have to have a plan before you execute your desire. George W. Bush didn't tell us a plan. He told us what his desire was. And for God's sake, he's sitting in the White House. And he can't articulate a plan for us. It's probably double, triple secret. I tell you the plan. But I'd have to kill you. So, do we accept that from a three-year-old? Do we accept that from a 12-year-old? I won't drive the car. No, what's your plan? Lay out for me your plan. We're being governed by man-childs that want us to believe in the boogeyman, and they want us to pay our good hard-earned money to go chase boogeymen. Boogeymen don't exist. And the person that we were told is the reason why we were attacked was a lie, just like the boogeyman. Scary, 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 scary times. Frightening times. The country's being run by three-year-olds. Being run by three-year-olds. And if you don't believe that, listen to this. If you don't believe that we're not being run by three-year-olds, listen to this.
1 year ago today, we restored sovereignty to the Iraqi people. What? In January 2005, more than 8 million Iraqi men and women voted in elections that were free and fair.
Sovereignty means you got water. Sovereignty means that you're safe to go out of your home sovereignty means that your way of life is either restored or being restored. An election of hand-picked people when most of the country wasn't able to vote is not sovereign. We're being governed by three-year-olds. Just because you say you want it doesn't mean that it is, and doesn't mean that you're going to get it. And the boogeyman does not exist. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Morning, Miss Brown.
Good morning, George.
I'll tell you what I think.
I'm sorry, George. Go ahead.
I said I believe we're being governed by criminals. Just like those weapons of mass destruction that they never found. But anyway, I was talking about...
Well, maybe it's a pathological three-year-old.
Well, whatever. But I was talking to an Iraqi guy that drives a cab here downtown, and he was telling me he just came back from Iraq. He said it's just a mess over there. He said that you'll find a... If they find out you're an American, they'll cut your head off. And he said there's dead bodies laying in the streets. He said 100 people die every day over in Iraq. He said what they're telling you on the news is not true. He said it's about 100 people a day are dying. He said that some people that pick up the trash, they'll find a head in the trash can.
Mm.
He said they even beheaded some guy in a hotel in his city of I can't remember what the city was, but it was started with an M. But he said it's really bad. He came back. He said it's just chaos over there.
Mm.
So I don't know how he's going to pay for this war. He's never laid out the plans for paying for this war, and it keeps running up the deficit. So
there's no plan. There's no.
I guess
plan.
Our grandkids will be paying for this.
Our great grandchildren.
Right. Well. Keep up the good work, Miss Brown.
Thank you, George. Take care
okay.
of yourself.
Bye.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Good morning, Liz Brown.
Good morning, Mike.
If he laid the plan out on TV, won't the terrorists watch it on Al Jazeera and CNN and then prepare for the plan?
Huh?
I'm saying if he laid the plan out on TV to the American people, won't the terrorists... get the plan?
So then the response is I have a plan, I can't tell you what it is. Is that he didn't say that either, did he? He didn't say that either, did he?
Oh, not really.
No, okay, so it's safe to conclude that there is no plan. And you can always say, there are certain things that you absolutely can tell the American people, and one of the things is tell them the truth. It's not going well there. Do you think it's going well there, Mike? Do you think
I know it's not.
Okay, so why is he looking us in the face and saying, it's going well. It's working. That the terrorists are afraid of us. No, they're not. We're losing this occupation. And if our plan is to train those that we originally went there to kill, that's not a plan, is it? I mean, how do you train an Iraqi man to fight? The plan is we're going to take our troops that have been taught to call Iraqi people Hajis, that have been taught to kill first, don't even bother to ask questions of Iraqi people. Our troops that have been told to bomb their mosque, to treat their Quran with disrespect and utter contempt. What is it that we're going to train the Iraqi men that will be replacing them? You're going to tell them to desecrate the Quran? Is that the plan? I'm just asking, Mike.
Liz Brown, can I talk about a movie?
Go ahead, Mike.
You the sequel to the Pirates of the Caribbean is coming out this summer, I believe.
Okay.
And they portraying in that movie that the Caribs, which was the original people... Native people of the Caribbean is where the name came from.
Mm-hmm.
It's like 3,000 of them left.
Carib,
and they really
Carib.
In an uproar because they put portraying them as cannibals to cover up what they did to them.
Oh, Jesus. So you don't have any good news either.
Talk to you later.
Bye, Mike. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Georgia, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding,
and
Georgia.
And thank you for giving us the news that we need to hear.
Yes, ma'am.
And I just pray for you for that.
Thank
but
you.
But I wanted to mention the president's speech last night.
Okay.
And I counted terrorists 31 times.
I've been trying to get a copy of the speech. I've been able to get a transcript of the copy of the speech. I'm counting it 27 times.
Uh-huh. Okay. Was it counted?
No, I haven't gotten it yet. I'm gonna. I'll
count
check it and see.
Counted 31 times.
Okay.
Thank you.
Wait a minute. How many times did you count 9/11?
I counted September 11. I counted three.
Okay. I think there might have been more references. It was only a 30-minute speech.
Mm-hmm.
Why is he talking about 9/11? What that got to do with what we're doing?
Not a thing.
Not a doggone thing. Not a doggone thing.
And I'm just wondering when the country going to wake up on this man.
Well, the reason he gave the speech is because he's starting to feel that the country is saying, you know what, no.
And get him out of that White House.
Impeach.
Before he take us all.
Impeach. Impeach.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Mm-hmm. Take care of yourself.
Bye-bye.
In the next hour, folks, in the 9 o'clock hour, we're going to be talking to Jonathan Marks. He's the co-author of a study that links our good military to going to medical doctors to find out what they can do to make their torture more effective. You think that crosses the bioethical line? My name is Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. We have so much stuff to talk about. So much stuff to talk. Y'all just need to hold my hand because it's bad out there. It is bad out there. We got some stuff to do. Stay with me. I'm Liz Brown.
She's afraid. Afraid what they've been doing's not right. He doesn't know what to say. So he prays. Whatever happens. Don't let go of my hand.
Good morning, St. Louis. 30 minutes after the hour of 8 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's traffic and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by Chevron, Techron, Concentrate. Northbound 55 on the ramp to northbound 67 Lindbergh. There's an accident that has been cleared. There are no delays at this hour. Westbound 70 at Edward Jones Dome. There's a report of an accident. Two lanes are blocked. Only the left lane is getting by. Traffic is jammed onto northbound 55. Eastbound 44 between Bowles and Guyer. Look for no problems to report there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. Look for heavy volume. Westbound 270 from Old Halls Ferry to West Forest. Look for heavy volume as well. Eastbound 40 between Clayton Warson and Hanley. You've got slow traffic in pockets, so use caution as you're rolling around that area. Northbound 270 at 44. That traffic has returned back to normal. Westbound 40 between Clayton Skinker and Hanley. You have slowed volume going on there. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed for maintenance at this hour. Your bridge approaches stack up like this. Westbound 5570 from 4th Street on the Poplar Street Bridge. Still slow going on there. Westbound 64 to 5570 split. Look for no problems report. Westbound Kingbridge traffic at Laclede's Landing. Everything's returned back to normal. Skinker is reopened at Forest Park Parkway after Metrolink construction. And in both directions, 44 at Jamerson. Look for bridge maintenance operations having lane closures going on throughout that area, so they'll be all over the place. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by Chevron Techron Concentrate. Don't forget to include Techron Concentrate as a part of your car's regular maintenance routine. It cleans up deposits to bring out the best in your car. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and for Friday. Heat advisory is in effect from noon today until 6 p.m. this evening. Otherwise, hazy, hot, and humid with a high in the upper 90s. The heat index should read between 105 and 110 by this afternoon. For this evening, partly cloudy skies with a low in the mid-70s. The heat index should still remain between 100 and 105 during the early evening hours. So use caution when you're out there today. Drink plenty of fluids. Thursday, partly sunny skies, a chance for showers, the high in the lower 90s. Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. And then on Friday, mostly sunny skies, the high should only be in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU, we have 83 degrees under clear, hazy skies. Lambert Field is reporting 81 degrees. Stay tuned for more of Liz Brown and the award-winning Wake Up Call. That's up next. We'll take another look at your news, your weather, and a final look at traffic in the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
Hey guys, Johnny B. Jackson here, ready for some lively debate, stuff you won't hear anywhere else. Join my partner, Robbie the Carp, and me this Thursday night, 11 to midnight, right here on WGNU. You won't believe what they're doing with our paper money these days. You just won't believe it. Join us for our inaugural broadcast of the Jackson & Jackson comedy program this Thursday night at 11, right here on WGNU.
The abuse started just after we started dating and got worse. I thought I should stay to keep our family together, but the situation at home was affecting my children and my job. My name is Keisha, and I am a survivor of domestic violence. I now take care of my children and go to work without the fear and stress due to abuse. I reached out for help when I needed it, and you can too. If you or someone you care about needs support at home or in the workplace, please call the Domestic Violence Confidential Hotline at 1-800-799-SAFE. That's 1-800-799-7233. That call changed my life.
If you are a victim of domestic violence, there is help available, and it's just a phone call away. The Domestic Violence Confidential toll-free hotline number again is 1-800-799-SAFE. This message brought to you by the State of Illinois and this station.
Listen, man, adding fractions is no big deal.
Nah?
Nah. You just got to find what they call the common denominator. Let me show you.
All right.
Now, see these bottom numbers?
Yeah.
These are the denominators. That one's a 4 and that one's an 8.
Mm-hmm.
You just double both of these numbers so that becomes an 8, too. Then you add them up.
Man, you sure make this easy.
Charles Bennett always dreamed that after college he'd return to the old neighborhood as a teacher. But without the money for tuition, only half of his dream came true. He's back in the old neighborhood.
Well, enough math. I gotta deliver these sandwiches.
Oh, sure.
Please support the United Negro College Fund. Call 1-800-332-UNCF. A mind is a terrible thing to waste. A public service brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake Up Call with Liz Brown.
Just a little touch of star quality.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, and I've been talking about how the world is viewing the policies and the practices of the United States towards prisoners, the policies and the practices of the United States towards Muslim people, the policies and the practices of this administration in their efforts to fight terrorism.
We're being criticized all across the world. There's a story that you may not be aware of. I would almost guarantee that you haven't heard about this. Story that came out of the Toronto Star. A story that talks about how U.S. doctors are being linked to POW torture. Guantanamo medical records are being used, and they're being used as the basis of interrogator strategy. How scary is that? We're going to talk about that this morning with Professor Jonathan Marks, a London lawyer who is currently a fellow in bioethics at Georgetown and Johns Hopkins University. He's joining us from Alexandria, Virginia. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well, thanks.
Very good. It's good to have you here.
Thank you for having me.
You were part of a report that talks about the blurring of the line, or the obliteration, actually, of the line between doctors and interrogators. Talk to us about the concerns that you have about this line being blurred.
Well, first, it might help your listeners if I just explain precisely what their role is.
Mm-hmm.
So if I can do that very briefly.
Sure.
What they had at Guantanamo Bay and also at Abu Ghraib were teams called Behavioral Science Consultation Team. These were teams that usually contained a psychiatrist and a psychologist, and they were considered by Major General Jeffrey Miller, who ran Guantanamo Bay for a time. They were considered essential in the design of interrogation strategies and the analysis of the intelligence that any interrogation produced. And as the picture unfolds, we're learning that some who served on these teams were in favor of more aggressive interrogation methods because they believed that by creating anxiety amongst detainees, they would be able to shape their behavior using systems of rewards and privileges and obtain intelligence that way. And we also know that in that scheme, the use of medical records was helpful because it enabled these behavioral scientists to create a psychological profile of detainees. So that, in a sort of nutshell, is the story so far as we understand it.
Now, what does the Secretary of Defense, what does the military say about the use of Guantanamo Bay's prisoners' medical records? What's their position on that, their official stated position?
Well, in August 2002, there was a memo produced by the Chief of Staff of SOUTHCOM, a man named Huck. SOUTHCOM is the part of the military that has jurisdiction over Guantanamo Bay. And basically that memo said in August 2002 that detainees should have no medical confidentiality and should be given no reason to expect that they had medical confidentiality. That document suggests, and our understanding of the practice that followed, is indeed that medical records were used.
But that's in contradiction to what William Weichenwerder, the U.S. Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs, he said that Guantanamo prisoners' records are considered private, just like American citizens' records are considered private.
That's right, and he said that only a couple of weeks ago when new guidelines were a new memorandum was released at a press conference by William Weichenwerder, who is the Assistant Secretary of Defense for Health Affairs. And he was asked, I wasn't at the conference, but my understanding of the newspaper reports at this conference was that he was asked whether these guidelines were a change of policy from what went before, and he said he couldn't answer that question.
Huh?
But he said, which seems rather strange.
Yes, it is.
But he then said that the guidelines were reaffirmed long-standing principles. Now, if you actually look at what this new document says, it doesn't actually clear up the concerns that I and my co-author, Greg Block, raise in our article. What this new memorandum says is they don't have absolute confidentiality,
Was that like being a little bit pregnant? I mean, how do you not have absolute confidentiality of your medical record?
Well, the important thing is, and it's actually true that we don't have absolute confidentiality, and I'll explain why in a moment, but the important thing is the document doesn't make clear. There is a presumption of confidentiality. There should be a presumption of confidentiality, and that's a presumption that operates in the case of your medical records and mine, and it's a presumption that operates in the case of prisoners in U.S. prisons. Military or federal or state.
So they have a presumption but not a practice.
Well, let me tell you how the presumption works. The basic presumption is one of confidentiality, but there are exceptions. If revealing the information will prevent other people in particular from suffering serious harm. So let me give you an example. If you tell a psychiatrist in a consultation that you are going to kill somebody tomorrow, he can reveal that information. Moreover, he's under an obligation to reveal that information to the police and a court find in a recent case, also reveal that information to the potential victim. So there is an exception where it's necessary to protect third parties, right? But the presumption is that the medical records are confidentiality unless there's good cause to show otherwise, as I've just described. Now, the system, which seems to have operated at Guantanamo Bay from August 2002, at least until the memo produced a couple of weeks ago by Winkenwerter, the system which appears to have operated is consistent with the idea that there was no presumption that medical records were routinely made available, that there was a blanket denial of confidentiality, just as initially the administration tried to make a blanket denial of prisoner of war status for the detainees at Guantanamo Bay. And Winkenwerter's new memo says, analogous to the U.S. standards applicable to Americans. And then he goes on to say these are the rules. Well, the analogous U.S. standards are standards which have a presumption of confidentiality. And Winkenwerter's memo doesn't make that clear.
And we have to take a break right now. When we come back, Professor, I'd like to talk to you about what has happened, what has occurred with the policies and the practices that were engaged in by the military at Guantanamo Bay. What's happened to the prisoners as a result of these practices? My name is Liz Brown. I'm talking to Professor Jonathan Marks, research fellow at Georgetown and Johns Hopkins University. He's joining us from Alexandria, Virginia, talking about the report that he co-authored that U.S. doctors are linked to POW torture, Guantanamo medical records are misused, and often the basis of interrogator strategies. This is Liz Brown. Stay with us. Every breath we drew was hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Moscow. Russia says it plans to build 6 new nuclear reactors for the country of Iran. Russia has been pressing ahead with construction of Iran's first nuclear power plant near a city in southern Iran, even though the United States has criticized the project due to fears that Iran could make an atomic bomb with it. Russian President Vladimir Putin is on record saying his country will continue to develop nuclear ties with Iran following the election of ultra-conservative Mahmoud Ahmadinejad as president last week. And Dateline Washington. The Bush administration admits it is $1 billion short of covering all the needs at the Department of Veterans Affairs for this fiscal year. During a House hearing last week, an undersecretary for the Health Department says his department had to tap into $300 million from a fund that had been expected to last well into the next fiscal year. Also, another $500,000 or more that was set aside for capital spending will now have to be taken for health care. Steve Robertson, legislative director for the American Legion, says the administration and Congress are dividing vets into little groups, some who deserve assistance and some who don't. The Republican chairman of the House Veterans Affairs Committee, Steve Beyer, has already upset veterans groups by saying in a recent interview that all veterans may be veterans, but they should not necessarily all be treated the same. This is your wake-up call, Global News Update.
They play jazz in heaven in New Orleans. If your family hasn't been to New Orleans, y'all haven't lived. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com to plan your trip to Six Flags New Orleans, Audubon Zoo, Aquarium of the Americas, and more. Hop on the new Canal streetcar line, see gators up close, and roll in a riverboat down the mighty Mississippi. Visit NewOrleansOnline.com today for great hotel rates and a free Good Times guide with more than $2,400 in coupons. And jazz up your family's next vacation in New Orleans.
You know, if there's a paradise, it's an afternoon in Jackson Square. Cause if they play jazz in heaven, darling, it's standing room only up there.
NewOrleansOnline.com.
What's up, St. Louis? I'm Kevin Paulus, and I'm telling you, the time to talk sports on WGNU is Wednesday nights from 6 to 7 with me, Kevin Paulus. Whether you want to talk Blues, Rams, Cardinals, Mizzou, St. Louis U, whatever else is on your mind, give me a call from 6 to 7 on Wednesday nights. It'll be fun. It'll be cool. It'll be from 6 to 7 Wednesday nights. It's Sports Talk on AM 920 WGNU.
It's the information you need to know about but can't find anywhere else on the dial. The award-winning wake-up call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. I am talking to Professor Jonathan Marks, research fellow at Georgetown and Johns Hopkins University. He's joining us from Alexandria, Virginia, and we're talking about U.S. doctors linked to POW torture. Professor, welcome back.
Thank you very much.
What are some of the things that have occurred and that your report has shown that how the prisoners have been treated as a result of the policy of the government to share the share the medical files with interrogators?
Well, we're having to piece the picture together as best as possible from some of the documents that we've seen and from people who are prepared to talk to us, perhaps only on the basis that we don't attribute comments to them. So we're gradually piecing the picture together because obviously people involved in the process have been told by their superiors to keep their mouths quiet. I can't point to a particular physician and say that he is responsible for a particular form of detainee abuse, although that evidence might come in future. But what I can do is I can give you a sense of the kind of approaches that were taken to interrogation and the kind of approaches into which physicians may have had some input. Now, interrogations were conducted on the basis of an interrogation plan. Just as we tell our children before they write their essays, they have to plan what they're going to say. Interrogators are also told before they begin an interrogation, they have to plan the process. They have to decide what the detainee may have in terms of information and how they're going to get it from him. And if they want to use more aggressive techniques, they have to write to their superior and seek approval. And one of these documents, which was leaked to the press, is a request from Colonel Pappas, who headed military intelligence at Abu Ghraib prison. And it was sent to Lieutenant General Sanchez, who is the commander on the ground in Iraq. And in that request, they describe how they find a detainee, a Syrian detainee, they say, attempting to set off an improvised explosive device at the side of the road. They believe the detainee, that's what this document says, they believe the detainee has knowledge about the smuggling of foreign fighters into Iraq and knows where the safe houses are. But they think he's behaving in a smug way, or words to that effect, and they want permission to use more aggressive techniques. And they request permission to throw, this is roughly what it says, to throw tables, chairs, invade the personal space, and continually yell at the detainee. And then they add, taking precautions to ensure that the thrown objects are clear of the detainee, and then they add, and do not coerce him in any way. Although it doesn't explain quite how that would work. And then they go on to say, if the detainee is not broken yet, and again, they don't explain the difference between breaking him and coercing him, they then want to move him into what they call the segregation phase, in which he will be transported with an empty sandbag over his head to another location. He will then be strip-searched with the bag still over his head, quote, for the safety of himself, unquote, as well as others.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
And then he's put on what they call a 72-hour adjusted sleep schedule.
Adjusted sleep schedule.
That's what they call it, yeah.
Sleep deprivation.
During the course of which, he will be subjected to loud music, stress positions, and a number of interrogation techniques designed to get him to cough up whatever it is they think he might know. Now, we don't know quite what medical input there was into that particular interrogation plan, but what we know is the system devised by Major General Jeffrey Miller at Guantanamo Bay and the system he tried to import into Abu Ghraib would put the team, the physician and psychiatrist, at the heart of this process.
Talk to us, because we only have just a few more minutes left here. I want to talk about Omar Khadr.
Yep.
Can we talk about what was done to him and how the medical input into their choice of interrogation of Omar?
Well, it's fine. I think for me, this case that I know more about actually is the case of just actually recently described in Time magazine of Al-Qahtani.
Okay.
And that for me is a better example. What we do in our articles, we actually identify. One behavioral scientist described as simply Major L in Time magazine a couple of weeks ago, and we managed to work out who this man is. And he's a Biscuit member, and we know that a number of that he was present at least for part of it appears in the record that he's present part of the time, and we can deduce that he had some input into the interrogation process. And we know that this particular detainee was put through some very unpleasant things, to say the least. In one instance, he was forcibly given several bags of IV fluid and then wasn't permitted to go to the bathroom for several hours, so he wet himself. Mm. We know from reports that at some point his heart rate got down to 35 beats a minute, I think it was, which suggests that the man was seriously ill. And indeed, a number of physicians were brought in to examine him. So that, I haven't seen the full interrogation log, although I have made requests to see it. But that interrogation log suggests that there was a prolonged interrogation process for this man that involved some particularly inhuman treatment. And what's interesting is it's not clear that it even produced any information that was of any use. In fact, Adam Zagarin, who was at Time magazine, who researched that article, said that looking at the interrogation log, he got the impression that if any information was produced by the interrogation process, it wasn't produced by the harsher techniques that the interrogators use.
And there is a prohibition in doctors participating in helping an interrogation. Isn't there?
The United Nations Principles of Medical Ethics make clear that physicians shouldn't participate or use their knowledge and skill to assist in interrogations which are a violation of international law. So that would prevent them from participating in the more aggressive interrogations that were conducted at Guantanamo Bay and Abu Ghraib and elsewhere. What the principles don't make clear are what the rules should be for interrogations that are compatible with international law. Mm. And some interrogations clearly were. Eric Starr, who was an interpreter at Guantanamo Bay, describes two different types of interrogation. One is the more aggressive ones that we've heard about, and the other are the sort of rapport-building interrogations where you basically sit in a more comfortable room and chat with the detainee. That approach, many think, is more effective at getting interrogation intelligence than the more aggressive approaches.
And it seems it's clear, I guess, that physicians should be brought in for the help, for the health and the help of the patients. But kind of what we're having happening at Guantanamo Bay is that there's just a blurring of the line of what the physician's jobs are. Are they to help the patient, or are they to help the interrogators?
Absolutely. And indeed, we've come across some evidence that one important figure, this is somebody not at Guantanamo Bay, but at Abu Ghraib, actually had a vital role, he admits in writing, having a vital role in both the behavioral science mission, the interrogation mission, and in designing the health care of detainees. And that clearly defies even the explanation the Department of Defense gave, which is that there's supposed to be a separation between interrogation physicians and caregivers.
And what about the physician's oath to do no harm?
Absolutely. Well, that's a very good point, and it's true that we do accept some limitations on that principle. So, for example, we allow physicians to assess prisoners who are, or I should say, people who are up on criminal charges. We allow physicians to assess their mental health to see if they're fit to stand trial, and that can have some harm for somebody on criminal charges, obviously. But what we're talking about at Guantanamo Bay goes well beyond that. And what the DOD should be doing is clearly acknowledging that these people are physicians, that they're acting as physicians, and they should be subject to ethical guidelines, which would rein in the abuses that we've heard about.
And with regard to physicians and people that have been charged with crimes or convicted with crimes in the United States, we don't allow physicians on death row to put needles in people to kill them, because that's violation.
Absolutely, that's absolutely right. Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you very much, Professor Jonathan Marks, research fellow at Georgetown and Johns Hopkins University. Thank you so much for joining us on the Wake Up Call.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. I'll be back in the next hour to take your calls. We have much, much, much to talk about. Stay with us.
Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis, 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett.
We'll fight them there. We'll fight them across the world. And we will stay in the fight until the fight is won.
President Bush telling the nation last night that the mission in Iraq is worth America's sacrifice. He said more troops aren't needed to win the war. Democratic Senator Joe Biden says that's not the message he got from commanders during five trips to Iraq.
I'm going to send him the phone numbers of the very generals and flag officers I spoke to as recently as Memorial Day in Iraq. There's not a single solitary person I met that said we have enough force in the ground.
The Chinook helicopter that went down yesterday in Afghanistan was likely shot down by hostile fire, says the military. 17 service members on board. No word of their fate. Extreme weather in the West fueling wildfires that have burned more than 750,000 acres. Reporter Jim Cross tells us about one of the big ones north of Phoenix.
The Cave Creek Complex fire has grown to more than 140,000 acres in central Arizona. A pair of Type 1 incident teams managing the southern and northern ends of the fire. More than 850 personnel, including 15 hotshot crews, 4 bulldozers, 27 engines fighting the blaze from the ground, a dozen helicopters dropping water and retardant from above.
Starting Friday, a new law takes effect in Illinois requiring K through 6th graders to prove they've had dental checkups before getting their final report cards. Illinois State Representative David Miller.
When children have dental decay and dental neglect, unfortunately, it affects their productivity. It's hard to learn. It affects their eating. It's hard for them to chew and become healthy young people.
2 people accused of planting a finger in a bowl of Wendy's chili are due in court today in San Jose. Anna Ayala and Jaime Plasencia, accused of a scheme to extort money from the fast food chain. This is ABC News.
Hello?
Adam, I saw on the TV where the police arrested an Adam Klein for stealing identity.
Mom, it's not me. Someone tried using my credit, but I'm protected by Equifax Credit Watch.
You got a credit watch? What's wrong with your father's pocket watch?
Protect yourself from identity theft with Equifax Credit Watch. It monitors your credit and notifies you of key changes, so you can act before serious damage is done.
I knew it wasn't you on the TV. That boy had a nice haircut.
Get Equifax Credit Watch at Equifax.com.
Ah, that magic year, 1993. Men wore ponytails, proudly. Grunge was a sound and a dress style, and a smart guy named Mark bought the car of his dreams. After 11 years and 104,000 miles, Mark still drives his baby because he uses Castrol GTX High Mileage. It's formulated to help extend engine life and protect against oil burn-off better than competitive leading oils. So Mark can drive his dream car through all the hairstyles to come.
Help older cars feel young again with Castrol GTX High Mileage.
government scientists trying to outthink terrorists. But, says ABC's Pam Coulter in Washington, the federal experts would prefer to keep their theories to themselves.
Stanford University researchers warn hundreds of thousands of Americans could be killed if terrorists poison the milk supply. The analysis posted on a National Academy of Sciences website suggests a tiny amount of botulism toxin poured into a milk truck destined for a processing plant could also cost the economy billions. Fearing the consequences of the information falling into the wrong hands, the Washington Post says federal officials tried to keep the details secret. But the dean of Harvard School of Public Health says the report did more good than harm by pointing out risk points in the milk delivery system. Pam Coulter, ABC News, Washington.
The world's oldest person turns 115 today. The Dutch woman is getting a visit from her country's royal family as well as the soccer team that she's supported for the past 87 years. Joan Bennett, ABC News.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Patrick Brandmeier with your WGNU news update for the 9 o'clock hour. In the news this Wednesday, many Metro East residents are still being asked to conserve water. Because of drought conditions and several recent water main breaks, the Illinois American Water Company is asking its customers in Belleville, Swansea, and Shiloh to avoid non-essential water usage. During the voluntary restrictions, residents are urged to avoid watering lawns, washing cars, filling swimming pools, and using the hose to clean porches or driveways. Meanwhile, a boil order remains in effect in Belleville, Swansea, Shiloh, Columbia, Waterloo, and Millstatch. In a rare primetime address to the nation last night, President Bush argued his case against setting a timeline for an exit from Iraq. But some lawmakers, including Democratic Congressman Russ Carnahan of Missouri, are calling for a timeline to be set. Carnahan says Mr. Bush's reference to Americans standing down as Iraqis stand up is not enough.
We really need to have a specific plan to know what it takes to train the Iraqis to the level they need to be able to take care of their own security so that we can begin to phase our troops home.
But Republican Missouri Congressman Todd Akin says it will take some time to train the leaders of the Iraqi forces.
It's a mindset. It's a sense of responsibility. It's a sense of commitment to a cause. And the Iraqis, it's taking a long time to get the leadership trained.
In his address last night from Fort Bragg, North Carolina, President Bush said U.S. troops will stay in Iraq as long as we are needed and not a day longer. Illinois' Darren Williams is headed to Utah after being chosen third overall by the Jazz in last night's NBA draft. Utah traded up to get Williams, giving the Portland Trail Blazers two first-round picks this year and another for the 2006 draft. Williams could very well be the starting point guard next season for the Jazz, who are coming off a 26-56 campaign. His Illini teammate, Luther Head, was selected 24th overall by the Houston Rockets, while Missouri forward Linus Clizzo went three picks later to Portland before being traded to the Denver Nuggets soon after. Chaminade grad and University of Florida star David Lee was chosen by the New York Knicks with the 30th and final pick of the first round. Finally this hour, if you're heading out of town for the weekend, be careful how much you pack. Extra junk in the trunk can slow you down and cost you money. Andy Atcho, Worldwide Director of Environmental Outreach and Strategy for Ford Motor Company, says one way to improve fuel economy is to lose weight in your trunk. Every extra 100 pounds you carry in your trunk reduces your fuel economy by 1%. Atcho says speed plays a major factor in fuel economy, too. In highway driving, 50% of the energy required to power your vehicle goes to overcoming aerodynamic drag. So the faster you go, the worse your fuel economy will be. This WGNU News Report is brought to you by Granite Works. Granite countertops add significant value and beauty to any home. And at only $38 a square foot installed from Granite Works, you can't go wrong. Call 862-6300. That's 862-6300. And that's your look at local news for the 9 o'clock hour. I'm Patrick Brandmeier for Radio Free St. Louis.
Good morning, St. Louis. 8 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock at AM 920 WGNU. I'm Howard Morton with a look at this hour's final look at traffic. and weather. This hour's traffic is sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Westbound 40 between Spady and Ballas, there's an accident that's been cleared. Expect delays, though, near Clayton Morrison. Eastbound 70 between 94 and the Blanchett Bridge. Major road construction has two center lanes are closed. The far two left lanes are open for through traffic. There's no delays at this hour. Eastbound 44 at 109 and 270. No problems to report there. Eastbound 40 between 141 and Mason Road. Traffic has returned back to normal. Westbound 270 from Lilac to West Florissant, or New Florissant. Excuse me. Expect normal traffic this hour. Westbound 255 from Coke to 55. No problems to report there. Eastbound 40 from McKnight all the way into Hanley. Expect slow traffic this hour. Northbound 270 at 44. That traffic is easing up this hour. Westbound 40 between Big Bend and Hanley. Still a bit slow there. The I-70 reversible lanes are closed for maintenance. Westbound 70 between the Depressed Section and the Edward Jones Dome. Traffic is easing after an earlier accident. Westbound 5570 from 3rd Street onto the Poplar Street Bridge. It is still slow in your 9 o'clock commute. Westbound Kingbridge traffic from McLeod's Landing. Everything looks good. Illinois Route 3 is closed north of 5570 at National City due to a broken water main. Motors should use 203 if they're heading out of Granite City. Skinker has reopened after the Forest Park Parkway was closed for Metrolink construction. It's now open. And Tucson Ferry at 270, there's a report of an accident. This hour's traffic has been sponsored by your Greater St. Louis area Toyota dealers. Toyota owners, even Toyotas, need periodic attention. And when it's that time, make sure to bring your car to your local Toyota dealer offering factory-trained technicians using genuine Toyota parts. That's Toyota confidence. Now taking a look at your WGNU forecast for today, tomorrow, and Friday. A heat advisory is in effect beginning at noon today until 6 p.m. this evening. Otherwise, hazy, hot, and humid, high in the upper 90s. The heat index should reach between 105 and 110 by this afternoon. For this evening, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-70s, but the heat index will remain in early evening hours, ranging from 100 to 105 degrees for the early evening hours, so use caution and drink plenty of fluids. For Thursday, partly sunny skies, a 40% chance of showers, the high in the lower 90s. For Thursday evening, partly cloudy with a low in the upper 60s. Then on Friday, mostly sunny skies with a high in the mid-80s. Currently at the studios of AM 920 WGNU under clear skies, we have 84 degrees with haze. Lambert Field is reporting 82 and clear skies with haze as well. Stay tuned for another hour of the award-winning wake-up call. Liz Brown will be right back with you. We'll take another look at your news and weather in the 10 o'clock hour. I'm Howard Morton for AM 920 WGNU.
The Healthy Family, presented by the Missouri Division of Alcohol and Drug Abuse, reminding you to talk with your children about the dangers of underage drinking. Learn more at MissouriPrevention.org.
I know that despite the warnings of experts that no one should shoot off fireworks themselves, even if they are legal, many people are going to do it anyway. So knowing that, we know there will be injuries. What should be done if someone is burned by fireworks? Severe and moderate injuries should always receive a doctor's immediate attention. Superficial or light burns can be treated at home. Less severe burns can be soaked in cool water, then covered with a non-stick clean dressing held down with gauze or tape. Check the burn every day for signs of infection like increased pain, redness, swelling. See a doctor immediately if symptoms develop. A healing burn will itch, so cut fingernails short and don't scratch the burned skin. A burned patch of skin will be sensitive to sunlight for up to a full year, and sun can make scarring worse. I'm Julie Anderson with The Healthy Family.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell my brother, please do not beg for power. Nobody is going to give it to you. You were born with power.
have peace all over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight in Memphis. I will never say that God was a mean me. If you stick a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
I think I'm hearing revolution in the air. Tell me, brother, stop resisting.
But the hard truth is that not everyone is sharing in this city's splendor and glory. There are more poor than ever. More families in trouble, more and more people who need help but can't find it. A struggle against the common enemies of man, tyranny, poverty, disease, and war itself.
We believe that all men are created equal, yet many are denied equal dignity.
And so we say to all in this nation who dare listen to us, black, white, Jew, Gentile, Asian, Latino, that we are brothers and sisters in a long and difficult struggle.
Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. This is Liz Brown, living my life as an African and loving it. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. And my toll-free long-distance number, 1-877-920-WGNU. That's 1-877-920-WGNU. You need to get up. You need to get to me. We have much, much, much to talk about. 454-0400 is the phone number. And I want to continue the conversation that I was having with my guest from last hour about how U.S. doctors have been linked to torture. And I want to talk about this case of Omar Khadr. Documents that were filed in a Canadian court included two psychiatric assessments that concluded the teenager had a serious mental disorder and was at a high risk for suicide. Khadr is the second youngest son of Ahmed Said Khadr, who was considered before his death to be Canada's highest-ranking al-Qaeda financier and a person that had close ties to Osama bin Laden. Omar Khadr was 15 years old when he was shot 3 times and captured at a suspected al-Qaeda compound. In February, his U.S. lawyers told reporters that the teenager had been used as a human mop to clean urine on the floor. He had been beaten, threatened with rape, and tied up for hours in painful positions at Guantanamo Bay. He's 15. Used as a human mop to clean up urine. Khadr's Canadian attorney, Dennis Edney, said he has regularly raised concerns with Ottawa about the teen's treatment at Guantanamo and the use of his client's medical record. This conduct, according to his attorney, is a blatant disregard by both Canada and the U.S. to recognize the special status, international treaties, human rights laws that apply to children and youth. He's 15 years old and was used as a human mop to clean urine off the floor, and his medical records were released in order to engage in more effective torture, it appears. George W. Bush says he sees a clear path to victory. How on earth do you see a clear path to victory when you do these kinds of things? What is it, again? One of the things that George W. Bush said, and I want you to listen to this, listen to this.
We are partnering coalition units with Iraqi units. These coalition Iraqi teams are conducting operations together in the field. These combined operations are giving Iraqis a chance to experience how the most professional armed forces in the world operate in combat.
They used a 15-year-old. He was shot 3 times, put in Guantanamo Bay, and used as a human mop to clean urine on the floor. He was beaten, threatened with rape, and tied up for hours in painful positions. He's 15 years old. So let me ask you, ladies and gentlemen of the world jury, what is it exactly that we are going to be teaching the Iraqi troops out there? What is exactly, we're going to go with what General Sanchez advocates at Abu Ghraib? Are we going to be going with that? Are we allowed to treat 15-year-olds like this? What is it that we're going to be teaching them? One of the arguments made by George W. Bush in his 30-minute address in prime time, to say nothing's wrong here, everything's good, it's all good. That's George Bush's his position. It's all good. And the reason it's going so well is that, you know, that and the reason we need to be there is because it's a terrorist breeding ground. Well, it wasn't before we got there. It wasn't before we got there. And if it wasn't before we got there, whose fault would it be that it is now? And you think if we leave, it'll stop? If it wasn't that way before we got there, don't you think the logical step is to leave so it'll stop? If you walk into the room and all of a sudden all kinds of chaos walks, turns on, happens when you get there, is the logical thing to do to stay or to leave because you're causing chaos? Now, unfortunately, and I'm sure many of us have this in our mental Rolodex of our life, personal life experiences, the people that cause chaos when they walk into the room are rarely aware that they're the ones causing the chaos. That's why it takes other people, grown-ups, people that view the situation, that are there to say, you know what? You're incapable of figuring out that you're causing all this chaos, but I'm going to help you figure this out. You need to take your little happy self and get your little happy self up out the room because you're causing chaos every moment that you walk up in here. Our presence, the United States' presence in Iraq, ain't helping. It's causing chaos. You need to get up out of there. Period. Dot. Period. Dot. And George W. Bush has no intention of it. Because there are people. Generally, it's the people that cause the chaos. That have some other plans of what they want to do. Because they know in the midst of chaos, they can get some stuff done. In the midst of chaos, you can steal people blind. In the midst of chaos, you can mislead people. In the midst of chaos, you can distract people. In the midst of chaos, you can have success with your plan. because everybody else is dealing with the chaos, and you steadfastly dealing with your plan. And because your job is to go in and create chaos so your plan can be executed. How is George, what's the evidence that George W. Bush is engaging in chaos, the creation in order to advance his plan? Why did the words 9/11 come out his mouth yesterday? Because he wants to keep this chaotic feeling, this chaotic atmosphere, this fear-based atmosphere. Got to keep that going. Because chaos is distracting to those who don't want to be in a chaotic situation. Why he say 9/11? Why'd that come out his mouth? Why did that come out his mouth? If George W. Bush is really going to be concerned about what goes on in Iraq, if George W. Bush really is concerned about our troops being able to do what they need to do. If George W. Bush is really interested in winning this occupation, please explain to me then, how are we $1 billion short? With our funding. Why is it that there's $1 billion short? He recently released his VA budget request. This budget for our good soldiers would require hundreds of thousands of veterans to pay a $250 enrollment fee just for the right to continue to go to the VA hospital. Those same good veterans that George W. Bush had the noive to stand in front of and lecture last night will see co-payments double from $7 to $15 for each prescription they receive. George W. Bush, you had the nerve to look into the faces of our good military, honorable military members. If this budget is passed, 220,000 veterans would stop receiving treatment for their injuries and disabilities at VA hospitals. 28,000 fewer veterans would receive long-term care, such as nursing homes. It eliminates funding for construction of care facilities throughout the country. Waiting times for health care would skyrocket because the VA would not have enough funding to provide care. Funding for prosthetic research would be slashed by $9 million. Over 3,000 healthcare workers would be eliminated. 700 veterans benefit staff positions would be cut. This isn't coming from me. This is coming from the website of the Veterans of Foreign Wars. I'm not going to Al Jazeera to get this information. I'm going to the official site of the Veterans of Foreign Wars of the United States website. Hundreds of thousands of veterans would have to pay for hundreds of dollars, extra dollars out of their pocket because of the increased co-payment and the enrollment fee. They're $1 billion short. This good government, this administration under George W. Bush wants you to give everything. Give your baby's lives. Give your son's lives. Give your daughter's life. Give your daughter's arm. Give your son's legs. Give your grandbaby's heart. For a war with no plan to get us out of there. And Halliburton gets hundreds of millions of dollars of no big contracts. Your baby loses arm, don't matter. Because the good news is that Halliburton got $30 million to build a new prison. Your baby messed up in the head and no good for nobody, no how, ever. after fighting this war. It's all right. Brown and Root got another $100 million no bid contract. They don't have any money to pay for the VA hospital. They don't have any money to or experts or technology or workers to build your baby a leg that was blown off in Iraq. No problem. Bechtel got a contract to build another prison. It's all good. It's all good. It's all good. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning, Liz. How are you?
I'm outstanding.
You're just missing the point, honey.
Okay, it's on me. I know. Educate me. Educate me.
I listened to the speech last night and the terrorist rhetoric and how we're going to chase them down and 9/11. If you listen, when you get a copy of that speech, everything he says about the terrorists are things we've done.
Mm.
Everything he says the government wants to do is just what we haven't done.
And I'll give you an example of what he's what the thing that he said. He talked about how the insurgents, as he calls them, are blowing up cars in front of mosques. Okay.
Yeah.
But Fallujah is the city of mosques.
Blew them all up. And you keep missing the point that saying they didn't have a plan. The plan is just the way it's supposed to be. Chaos, just like you said momentarily. Chaos, bombing, all of that's helping them to get more contracts. They don't want any peace. They don't want any plan. They want 12 more years to put their people in place. They are not trying to get out of Iraq. They resist everybody that's telling them the plain, flat to your face truth as to what would rectify. They don't want to hear that.
And
everything's going fine because that's what they want.
And here's the other
thing. And he's not dumb. You know, he got a 76%. That's not too dumb. It's going his way.
Well, if you cheat to get 76%, it shows that you're dumb and non-ambitious, okay? I mean, you cheated to get 76%. Okay, make no mistake about that.
For sure.
Okay, and here's one thing. The plan, you're absolutely right. The plan is going as planned.
Yeah.
Because the fact of the matter is,
the plan is
about getting his friends hooked up. Only 3% of the Iraqi people own Iraq. The rest is owned by us.
Uh-huh.
Not us, you and me, us, but them. Us.
When I said plan, the congressman, what's his name that ran for president? I forgot his name.
John Kerry. John Kerry.
He said that there is no plan, but they're the ones saying there is no plan, but there is a plan, and nobody's challenging it for the criminal plan that it is. They have a plan. And I was ill and went to the VA and found out that used to be a 17-bed hospital right here in St. Louis on Grand. Now it's got cut down to a 100-bed hospital, and you got to be dead almost to get in one of those beds.
Got to roll, Barbara.
Talk to you.
Thank you. We're going to take a break. I'm Liz Brown. This is the Wake Up Call. Stay with me.
Butterfly, I sing like a hornet. They won't let me have it, not even here. No one else want it. And if I try to take it, they wanna break me down and strip me naked. They write a brand new rule and break it. They lie, they cheat, they steal, they fake it.
What's on the mind of today's teenagers? Find out on T3, Talk Totally for Teens. Log on at WGNU.net.
It's our country's tallest monument, standing at 630 feet. 2 million people visit every year. And best of all, the St. Louis Gateway Arch is just a short drive away for you and your family. Now you can see this architectural wonder from all sides. A ride to the top, a stroll underneath, even a relaxing river cruise right past the arch and city skyline. Watch the latest film on a giant four-story movie screen. See the arch being built piece by piece and take a trip back in time in our westward expansion
Indian Museum. Plus, cruise the mighty Mississippi aboard one of our Gateway Arch riverboats, all departing from under the arch for one-hour sightseeing cruises or a delicious dinner cruise. You see, a visit to the Gateway City is more than just a day trip. It's entertainment, cruising, and education rolled into one. Make plans now for your family's day at the St. Louis Gateway Arch. Call toll-free 1-800-787-7411. That's 1-800-787-7411. Or visit us at gatewayarch.org.
Since 1998, Father Support Center St. Louis has been improving children's lives, strengthening families, and impacting communities by providing programs that effectively connect parents and children. Through a comprehensive array of services, non-custodial fathers attain skills in parenting, employment preparation, conflict resolution, family formation, communication, and financial and emotional responsibility. For additional information and future class dates, call 314-333-4170, extension 101, or email fcs.fathers@birch.net. News for fathers and their children from WGNU.
A voice for those that should be heard. This is the award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Welcome back to the wake-up call. This is Liz Brown. 454-0400 is my phone number. 1-877-920-WGNU is the long distance. Don't forget, we are archiving live at the WhiteRoseSociety.org. If you missed an hour, go get an hour. You can do that right there at the WhiteRoseSociety.org. We have much business to tend to, folks. You need to get to me. You're on the wake-up call. Good morning.
Well, I was surprised at you. You know, you ought to go over there and help the Taliban some more. You help them right over here, aren't you? You're running a country down. You run a president down. You run everybody down. Now you can run me down. I'm the C-SPAN lady, and I don't care about you and your garbage you put out on the air.
You stayed on hold a long time to talk about how you don't care about what I say. You stayed on hold a long time. And the fact of the matter is the person who is helping the Taliban is your friend, George W. Bush. You want to know how George W. Bush is helping the Taliban? And your friend, Donald Rumsfeld. And if you sniff real hard, you can smell some brimstone after I've said his name. Do you know that Donald Rumsfeld is negotiating with the Taliban? Does that bother you? Is that of concern to you?
No, Wanda.
caught her in the middle of a rant. she's not in a position to answer any questions. Bless her little heart. Bless her little confused heart. The fact of the matter is that we're not winning this war. And if the best argument that you can bring to me in this discussion of where are the billions, trillions of dollars that our government is spending is you're with the Taliban, you really need to get out of the discussion business. And you really need to step away from this discussion because you are a devout partisan. And it doesn't matter what your party does as long as your party is in office. And this is America. You can believe that, and you can live like that. I don't live like that. I live in a place where I question authority, that I demand accountability from authority. And it's fascinating to me to hear people that felt that our nation was on the precipice of absolute collapse because Bill Clinton was messing around with Monica Lewinsky. They felt that our nation was going to fall. And again, this is America. You are entitled to have that worldview. No matter how twisted, you're allowed to have it. So, and I just pose this question to all of you Monica Lewinskyites out there. If that was a crisis for our nation, what is $1 billion shortfall for a veterans administration in the midst of a war? Is that not a crisis? What is a shortage of American citizens that will sign up for a war? Is that not a crisis? What is $1 trillion worth of contracts, no-bid contracts, to companies that the Vice President of the United States was the head of and still gets money from? If that's what if we're going to talk about crises, let's talk about that. If we can take hours of our precious media time to talk about some man and some woman in a relationship that didn't have any impact on your life, Lord, please help us. Can't we talk about $1 billion shortfall and veterans benefits in the midst of a war? Can't we talk about a man who has put us into war based on a lie? There were no weapons of mass destruction, and he knew it. Saddam Hussein had nothing to do with 9/11, and he knew it. Saddam Hussein didn't have weapons of mass destruction, and he knew it. We've read the Downing Street memo. There was no weapon of mass destruction, were no weapons of mass destruction. But yet he came to people like you that are open vessels to, garbage disposals without the disposal part. Garbage cans that he could put anything that he wanted to, any garbage he wanted to, into you. And there's no pickup date. He can put as much garbage into you, and there's no pickup date. You just keep it there, and you let it fester, and you let it rot. And then you try to tell me, I don't have no garbage in me. This ain't garbage. If it hurts that I'm talking about a friend of yours, get past it. Get over it. Because a man who would lie to me and to put my friend's babies in harm's way ain't no friend of mine. And I'm grown up enough. I'm a lot younger than you are. Decades younger than you are. And I'm old enough to know that. He ain't my friend, and baby, he ain't your friend either. Car phone.
I'll tell you what, that last call prompted me to pick up my phone and call, but I thought you handled that pretty good. You know, what's amazing to me is it's like hollering at a wall or down into an empty bucket or something. I mean, you can tell these people all you want to that there were no weapons of mass destruction and Bush lied, and they are not going to face it. They know exactly what he did, but they don't have the integrity. Like you said, how can they sit and investigate a man for almost 8 years over a sexual affair, but this president has committed some of the greatest crimes in this history, and they want to forgive him for it?
Or ignore it.
Integrity. They're the ones who's destroying this country, not people like you, not people like me. I mean, I had a spirited conversation with a brother of mine last night, and he was all for George Bush. Until I started picking him apart on Iraq, you know, they're still insisting that there's weapons of mass destruction, that there were ties to terrorists. You know, he says, oh, well, they came over here and attacked us.
They who?
That's what I told him. I said, they who? I said, look, you got the action in Afghanistan, which the whole world basically was on our side when we attacked them. But then George Bush took this war to the Iraqi people. I mean, the Iraqi people did not bring this war to us.
They didn't have a plane. They didn't have a proverbial pot.
You know,
and we went and bombed them.
They were talking about how he would shoot at our jets over the no-fly zone. But they didn't tell you at the same time those jets were so high up, it was just a puff of smoke down there on the ground. They He could not have possibly hit any of our jets.
And here is the other piece. We bombed him before he even went, before George W. Bush even went to our military, and I mean went to our Congress and said, "Can I go to war?" We were bombing them. All you got to do is read the Downing Street memo.
I'll tell you what, as far as veterans are concerned, these people don't care about these people enlisted in the service.
You can see
how they treat the veterans.
No, they don't.
No.
How do you support this war, and you're not angry at George W. Bush for $1 billion short for our veterans? How do you do that?
Say you would be morally bankrupt to support this man and this war.
Thank you very much. 454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. William.
Yes, ma'am. Good morning.
Good morning.
Am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh. If he had all the success, I didn't see any video of any successes. Did you?
I didn't see it. This is an administration that has relied heavily upon bringing us the pictures, right?
Right.
Where's the pictures?
Let's see the plan on the pictures. We can see it visually. He's not saying nothing.
Nope.
And if there was successes, he would have had a videotape
of
it.
Fact.
Oh, there's a bunch of bull. Everybody's frustrated. I feel sorry for C-SPAN, but she's had that trash drilled into her all these years. And
garbage can. A recipient of garbage. A garbage can. You receive garbage and you don't throw it away.
My man, I cannot believe it.
Thanks for your call.
Thank you, ma'am.
We're going to take a break, folks. This is Liz Brown. I have much, much, much more to say. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. Get to me.
Ever start a project by yourself, only to find you needed someone to help you? Fact is, when you link your resources with those of others, more gets done faster and benefits more people. Since 1994, Hope for the Nations has helped thousands of children in 20 countries in Europe, Asia, Africa, and Latin America. Hope for the Nations links people and resources in the U.S. and Canada to help homeless children become tomorrow's leaders, productive leaders who help their communities become self-sufficient and help even more people. Learn more about Hope for the Nations. Find out how you can link your resources and help children throughout the world. Visit www.hopeforthenations.com. That's www.hopeforthenations.com. Hope for the Nations, turning today's orphans into tomorrow's leaders since 1994. This is one project that needs your help.
I know the place to shop for all your appliance needs. Sears, 3425 Union, black-owned and black-operated, Jerome Williams. Sears carries the top six appliance brands, Kenmore, Whirlpool, Maytag, GE, Amana, and Frigidaire. Sears also has the latest in electronics, TVs, VCRs, camcorders, and DVD players. Now, if you find a lower price on an identical branded item with the same features currently available at another local retail store, Sears will match that price plus give you 10% off the difference. That's the Sears Price Match Plus policy. So, save yourself a trip. Stop at Sears first and get a low price promise plus a great selection for your home and garden needs. It's all at your local Sears store right there at 3425 Union, Jerome Williams, 389-9700.
This is your wake-up call, Global News Update. Dateline Jerusalem. Some militant Jewish settlers tried to shut down the main highway in Israel yesterday to protest against the government's plan to remove settlers from the Gaza Strip. The demonstrators threw nails and oil on the Tel Aviv to Jerusalem highway during the morning rush hour. Prime Minister Ariel Sharon pledged to use an iron fist on any hooligans who try to delay the Gaza pullout. A group of young ultra-nationalists have tried to settle into some abandoned buildings in the southern Gaza Strip.
The army was called in to evict them, and that resulted in a disturbance that culminated in the arrest of 8 people. On Sunday, the army took bulldozers to a dozen other buildings to keep them from being occupied by demonstrators. The Jewish settlers who leave get a large cash settlement as well as new homes north of the Gaza area. The pullout is due to start in mid-August. And Dateline Manila. The husband of Philippine President Gloria Arroyo says he will leave the country to take the heat off of his wife as she fights against vote tampering allegations. Jose Miguel Arroyo says he is the target of attacks in order to keep his wife from dealing with financial and economic issues of major importance to the country. He and his son, along with his brother, have been accused of being involved in illegal gambling operations. The president has her own scandal around her neck right now as well. She made the mistake of talking to an election board official during last year's voting and told him she'd like to win by 1 million votes or more. Those two problems have caused street demonstrations as well as calls for her to resign. This is your Wake Up Call Global News Update.
To me, summer is family time, a time to spend with the kids doing stuff we all love to do, which is why we go to Worlds of Fun. That and the fact that they have lots of coasters. Mamba, Timberwolf, Spinning Dragons, Boomerang. I like to ride them all. Of course, Worlds of Fun has stuff for the kids, too. Mine loved the new Peanuts Playhouse at Camp Snoopy. They played and played, took a little break, and then played and played some more. Then, if we need to cool off, we go to Oceans of Fun, where we ride the water slides, Typhoon and Diamond Head, and then the tube rides, Caribbean Cooler, Aruba Tuba, and Hurricane Falls, and finally, the wave pool. Another great thing is we can stay the night at the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort. Talk about easy.
Worlds of Fun and Oceans of Fun. Do one park or do both with the ride and slide ticket.
It's so cool.
Open daily. Make reservations for the new Worlds of Fun Village Resort or book your Joe Cool's Backyard Barbecue at worldsoffun.com.
Hi, folks. This is Decent Guy Don, Ace Black helicopter pilot, your certified conspiracy hunter and all-around decent person. If you want to hear 3 hours of rock'em sock'em beat up on the New World Order crowd, tune in here at WGNU, 9:20 a.m. every Wednesday, 10 o'clock in the morning. We do a no-razzmatazz, brass-knuckles war on the New World Order crowd. Their house of cards is about to come crashing down, my friends. Come listen to the thunderous crash as we pull the linchpin from the fragile ivory towers of the neocons and insiders in Camp Run Amok every Wednesday morning, 10 a.m., with Decent Guy Don at WGNU, 9:20 a.m., Radio Free St. Louis. Stay tuned.
Anywhere in the world at WGNU.net. The award-winning Wake-Up Call with Liz Brown.
Daddy was a soldier. He taught me about freedom. Peace and all the great things that we take advantage of. Once I fed the upon their faces as I treated them with respect. This is my Vietnam. I'm at war. Life keeps on dropping.
Welcome back. This is our Vietnam. This is our Vietnam. The bottom line is, he lied, we died, impeach him. He lied, we died, impeach him. Bottom line. You're on the Wake Up Call. Good morning.
Good morning, Ms. Brown. Thanks for taking my call.
Curtis, good morning.
It's really interesting to me how some people are so blind that they can't see the forest for the trees. The lady caller, a few calls back, just absolutely incensed me with her ignorance. Anybody in their right mind should be able to see through all of the foolishness that this administration has put us into. And it's a quagmire, and they don't even know how they're going to get out of it.
There's no plan to get out. 12 years is what we're saying. 12 years is what we're being told. 12 years. We could be there for 12 years. 12 years.
Well, we could probably, the way it's going, we could probably be there for another 20 years.
We'll be there forever.
And the saddest part about it is, you know, there's an adage that says, there's no fool like an old fool.
Mm.
And that particular caller just reiterated that adage. I mean, how can you be... I hear all day long.
Okay, and we don't need to go any further with the particular individual. It's the mindset that we need to talk about. It's this rigid mindset of individuals that defend the actions of this administration, despite things that people had advocated just a few years ago that they cared about. I care about our veterans. I'm one of these people that has 15 different bring our troops home ribbons from China on my truck. But
yes.
But the veterans are $1 billion short. They have to pay twice what they paid for co-payments at the same time that we're handing out no bid $100 million contracts to a company that Dick Cheney was the president of and continues to get money from through his retirement plans. There is a problem with that. You cannot be both of those things. You cannot be for the troops and not question the fact that the troops are not getting the money that they need to get their prosthesis, the money that they need to get their medicine, the money that they need to get their health. You can't be for the troops and not be concerned and mad at the people that made it happen that they're $1 billion short in this budget from George W. Bush. It's his budget. He wrote it. He said, this is what I want. His buddies get $100 million. The veterans get $1 billion short. You ain't mad at him?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
You can believe that Al-Qaeda, you can believe that you can believe that Saddam Hussein took a plane over here and planted the bombs in the towers and caused them to fall to the ground. You can believe all that you want to. You can stay in that never, never crazy land if you want to. But the bottom line is that the Veterans Administration is $1 billion short. Halliburton is hundreds of million dollars richer with no bid contract. Who you mad at?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thanks for your call, Curtis.
Thank you.
454-0400 is my phone number. Get to me. Sandra.
Yes, good morning,
ma'am. Good morning.
I think they should be ashamed with the type of rhetoric that they're using. You have a president that didn't go fight in any war.
Not in any war. And we'll send
his responsibility. Then when he got up, the reserve where he flew the border of the home state. And then he didn't even want to finish that out. He couldn't even finish that term out. But then his military records, they get fudged some kind of way. But then your big buddies, everybody, all the corporate America, they're just raping America. Everybody's getting away with billions, but they wanted to impeach Clinton for address. And I said, and nobody's ashamed. I said, you want to stand up behind the flag? Stand up behind the flag for the right reason. Mm-hmm. This man is lying. And they're accepting it, and they just keep moving on and on. How much more deep is he going to dig our country into? Our kids can't. They're going out to the war to die. He wouldn't fight in a war.
He didn't send his daughters either.
They didn't get medical care. They couldn't. All my brothers are military men, veterans. But then that stuff is steady being cut. Their Medicare, medical stuff is being, and they treat the veterans like they're dogs. Ask the older veterans how they're being treated when they go up in those hospitals.
Right.
They say,
right.
Get up behind
That's
him.
Right.
We created the Taliban. We gave that money over there.
Thanks for your
you
call.
You know, we went after that. All of that. Okay, Liz.
Thank you
Bye-bye.
So much. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get up. You need to get to me. Mary.
Liz, as dumb as I am, I can see that. Those contractors is over there working and taking over. Halliburton and Cheney is doing it. And they got extra contractors coming in. What are the soldiers there for? Protecting them?
Thanks for your call, Mary. 454-0400 is my phone number. You're on the wake-up call. Car phone.
Hi, Liz.
Yes?
Didn't you see the funeral notice in last election for the Democratic Party?
You think that an entire party is dead?
Uh-huh.
Well, and you saw a funeral notice?
I saw it.
You saw a funeral notice? What else are you seeing, darling? Keep laying down on the couch.
On the front
Talk
page
to me. What else are you
the
seeing?
Post.
Oh, you saw it on the front? And when you looked up in the sky last night, did you see flying saucers, too?
I did.
Okay,
found.
I believe you. I believe you. I believe you. Go rest. 454-0400 is my phone number. 454-6609 is my fax. You need to get to me. Car phone, you're on a wake-up call.
Hey, Liz, first time calling. You're on an issue that I'm really, listening to. I know everything that's going on. You know what? These people that are calling in, complaining about you talking about the truth, as long as the government is not doing anything for African-American people, they're okay with it. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
So if they do something for us, they'll get all up in arms. Oh, we don't owe them anything and all this crazy stuff. George Bush is the worst president from a standpoint of integrity. He's a liar. He hasn't done anything. Everything that comes out of his mouth is a lie. And they're over there. They're trying to secure that land for oil production and heroin production.
The Iraqi people own 3% of the land of Iraq. Who else owns the Who owns the 97% of it? The fact of the matter is that he lied, we died, impeach him. Period. Dot.
Let's start that campaign. Let's get his butt out
actually,
here.
Actually, what you need to do is go to John Conyers' website, Congressman John Conyers, johnconyers.com. You can sign the petition along with over a half a million other people requesting or demanding that George W. Bush be impeached. Or you can go to afterdowningstreet.org. You can go to that website. You'll see all of the information about why we need to impeach this man. He lied, we died, impeach him. Period. Dot.
Okay, I got one more website for you, jeffrich.com. They'll give you the whole details about George Bush and the shenanigans.
Been there, done that. Been there, done that. You're right. Thanks for your call.
Have a good day, Liz.
Okay, take care. Carphone. Listen, folks, this is Liz Brown. Wake up call. I'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Stay strong.
All over the world. Martin Luther King was shot and was killed tonight. Remember? I will never say that progress is being made. If you take a knife in my back 9 inches and pull it out 6 inches, there's no progress. You pull it all the way out, that's not progress. The progress is healing the wound that's below me.
WGNU, Granite City, St. Louis. 920 on your AM dial.
Here's the latest from ABC News. I'm Joan Bennett. There's good reason for keeping the Guantanamo Bay prison camp open, say commanders.
The vast majority of these detainees we are holding are dangerous men committed to harming Americans. I know this because of what we have learned about these men